This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
PFW in Progress.
Poop again.
He called the shit.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shatter!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack packs. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got a dick. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress for Wednesday. And it is going to be an action-filled show, I can just tell right now. And what's the matter, Andy?
Yeah, I'm just having
trouble.
You can't push these away from you. Huh?
Well, we're all here. Paul, Tom, Andy, myself, Fred. We'll be here until noon. Gary's in the booth.
Until noon, I'm out. Peace out.
Until 2. It is noon here at Gillette Stadium. Patriots just wrapped up their morning practice here at the stadium. Bill Belichick just wrapped up his morning press conference. So we're here to fill in everything that has happened since the last time we talked with folks, and that was last Wednesday. So we had a preseason game, which we saw perhaps the inklings of a brand new era in the running game here. In
some people predicted that months ago.
Well, let's be fair. I mean, Corey Dillon looked okay, too.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the passing of the guard or the torch or anything.
It's just the speed
right.
And the explosion.
It looks like they could have a productive 1-2
plus
punch
this
year.
The power. I mean,
right.
He was running guys over.
If he was fundamentally sound, he would have broken 2 huge runs. But he didn't.
All
in the wrong hands.
Webb's blocking-wise, it's still not close. Dillon stonewalls people while Maroney's still having trouble in that area.
Yeah. Well, he picked up a nice blitz. Did you see that one
play? He did.
Garrett, Paul, is your microphone on?
Yes, it is now.
Okay, now it is.
It wasn't.
Is my microphone on?
Yes.
Okay.
He did have one very impressive blitz pickup early in the game, which we all caught all of our eyes. And Tom's right, though. That's been one area during practice and some of the drills that he struggled in. So it's good to see him making some progress.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. We have a ton of emails that have come in yesterday and today in anticipation of the show. Everybody's got questions. Everybody's got opinions they want to get out. This is the show to do it.
It's time to start
getting
serious,
friends. When you look about what's going on in New England, and you know, if you want to talk Patriots football, Where else are you going to do
it? If you want to be a loser and talk about the Red Sox,
right,
call some other show, because that team sucks.
It is what it is. They have 3 would-be aces who can't pitch.
Yeah. Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
Well, their ace is 48 years old, and that's the way they started.
And the guy they gave $30 million gives up 3 home runs a game, and the guy they couldn't possibly trade for a 20-game winner stinks.
I think everything depended on getting Roger Clemens back, and when that fell through, that was the season. So Paul doesn't buy it.
Anyway, let's talk football.
All right. Again, webradio@patriots.com. In case you want to call, 508-543-7482.
We have news?
Well, let's talk about it. What news do you have? None. Okay. So I'll bring it up. There's, you know, right off the bat, we'll say there's nothing new on Deion Branch.
What are you, on the school paper?
That his agent is doing him a huge disservice at this point. Get him back.
How do you know it's not Deion Branch?
Yeah, I'm off the agent. It's been too long.
Deion Branch has dug his heels in. This is what he wants.
I think you can blame the agent.
Well, he's been brainwashed.
Well, I think you can blame the agent to start training camp, but now that we're this far in, now it's Deion Branch. If he wanted to be here, he would have gotten here by now.
And he hasn't brainwashed, because if he didn't get brainwashed in 4 years under Belichick to not hold out, some agent didn't come in and swoop down and brainwash him in a couple weeks.
And to back up those couple of points that Andy and Tom made, you know, and I've talked about it on this show, somebody in the organization told me as far back as roughly May
Branch
that this was his plan, that he wanted to do anything he could in his power to actually get to free agency or get, you know, this mega free agency deal now. So I can't put it – I don't think the agent's doing well, Fred. I think that you're right. I think the guy is selling him a bill of goods. But I have to put at least half of this responsibility on the player's shoulders here. It's got to go to Branch, too.
Well, say what you want about guys like Drew Rosenhaus who have this reputation of being a shark and – you know, hard ball. But he makes deals for his players. His players are playing.
Like Javon Walker and T.O. last year. Yeah, those were a couple of nice deals he made.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think that's accurate, to be honest with you.
Did we hear sarcasm?
I don't know.
I would go more with Lee Steinberg. Guys like a respected agent like that who's not on ESPN yelling and screaming. He just goes in. I'm sure he plays hardball, doesn't go to the media, but gets his clients the best deals he can and gets them done.
Well, I just think it's a shame for Patriots fans and, you know, the Patriots and Deion Branch that he's not here practicing.
We got one PFW that said we should trade Branch to the Cowboys for T.O. Yeah, you can't wait to get T.O. here. He's doing a heck of a job in Dallas.
We'll get into the whole Dallas fiasco later. But
be more fun.
But Chad Jackson, nowhere to be seen, number 17.
Day-to-day.
High hopes for him, but we have no idea what's going on with him. We hear it might be a hamstring, but this has gone on for now 20 practices or so.
And that's a huge
injury. He's only been to three practices.
That's a huge injury. We were all expecting him to come in, and like we said before, maybe not set the world on fire with 90 catches, but the David Givens 45 to 50 catches as a rookie, you know, some big plays down the field, and without him out there, that receiving core does not look very good.
Well, let's talk about some good things. The play of Garrett Mills over the weekend, very impressive considering that he hadn't been practicing that much before the game. Came right out and caught, you know, pretty much everything that was thrown his way. Made some nice athletic moves after the catch.
I thought the play of the offensive line,
the
first team offensive line, was dominant.
Lined up at both tight end and fullback.
If we're going to go with some positives, I'd rather go to some of the things that happened during the part of the game where there were some significant players in the field, and I would agree with Tom. The offensive line, I thought, was dominant. You know, during their time in there, there were some huge holes that Dylan and Maroney were running through. I thought Kevin Falk looked to be, you know, in his normal midseason form, you know, screen pass just like we've always seen, 17 yards down the sideline, like nothing. I thought special teams, the kickers made all their kicks. You know, Gramatica comes in and makes a field. I mean, I know it's preseason and all that, but the game's on the line. You got to kick, you got to make a field goal with less than 3 minutes left to tie the game. He made it, no problem. The kickoffs, one kickoff I thought was mishit out of the several that were made by both guys.
Yeah, that was one short one.
Most of the other ones were into the end zone, if not to the goal line, so I thought that was a positive. You know, those are the things that really stuck out to me.
I thought Gostkowski was really booming some in that game.
And boy, what a day he had today on the kickoffs.
Did he?
He missed his last two field goals, however, today. We should point that out. But he ended the practice. Gramatica was not dressed today, so Gostkowski took all eight of those field goals they usually do with the team period at the end, made the first six, missed the last two.
So, well,
although the second to last
second
one may have been
one,
a snap issue.
A little bit of an asterisk. I
so
had a bad
training
snap
camp is almost over, so let's go. Fred Kirsch, who do we got? Who wins the job right now? Go on record.
Jeez, I think they're going to carry two.
Really?
Yep.
They're going with both of them.
I really do.
I
two quarterbacks.
I don't think there's
any Gostkowski.
Two kickers.
I don't think they're going to carry
I'm
two.
I'm with Andy.
And I'm going to go with the rookie because I don't think there's been a discernible difference, and if not, why not go with the young guy?
Right.
You have more to lose if you cut him because you haven't seen anything great from Gramatica.
I think his kicks are still a little low.
Gramatica you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said Gramatica a couple of weeks ago just joking around saying give him the job, but I think the rookie's done enough.
You were joking then?
Well, obviously I didn't know.
I was joking back in 2001 when I said that Bledsoe was still better than Brady. Just so you know.
You guys know when I'm serious and when I'm not serious. We only saw the guy kick five field goals. I wasn't ready to give him the job. But I think the rookie has come on as of late, and I think he's going to be the guy to nail it down.
Okay.
You really think they're going to keep two?
I think that Gostkowski will be taking the kickoffs and perhaps maybe the long field goals, but I think they'll keep Gramatica.
I'll tell you what, it's too bad they can't get that guy from Atlanta, who for some reason wasn't kicking in Atlanta last year. That guy's
unbelievable. He punts, he kicks.
I don't know if it's one of those things that he just...
Gatorade on
you know how sometimes
line?
You have
see the perfect game?
I don't know if sometimes you just have that guy that plays great against your team,
right.
And he looks like an all-star, and you can't understand why,
right.
But last year he made a 58-yarder against us, and then he comes out the other night, and he's like Russell Erksleben in the late 70s, punting, kicking.
I thought he
off,
was going to throw a pass to
making
himself.
Making all the field goals. The guy was like the ultimate kicker. It was like Ray Guy.
And that's big. That's a 54th roster spot, essentially.
That's a great luxury to have, a guy that can kick from long range and do all your kicking off, and he's a good punter, too. He hung a couple of punts down inside the 10.
But you're right. There could be some guy who writes for Atlanta Falcons Weekly who's seen every practice and is like, what are those guys talking about? That guy stinks.
you got to see him. He makes, misses every other extra point in practice.
Other news, Tom Brady did not practice today. Bill Belichick said that we'll be seeing him fairly soon.
So after a long pause.
Fred, I wanted to ask your opinion on that because you're the king of reading between the lines. Long pause there. You were there when that question was answered, I assume?
Yes.
Did you read anything into
the
Bills?
Well, the question was this a scheduled day off for Tom Brady?
Right. And it was a long, long pause. I mean, a good 15 seconds before he answered that
because
question.
He couldn't say yes or no. So, because
why couldn't he say yes or no?
He has to be consistent. He never wants us to know whether or not it's scheduled or injury. He doesn't want us to know that.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for that. But having to assume that when your quarterback isn't dressed for practice, it may come up in a press conference, wouldn't you think that he'd be a little bit more prepared to answer than that?
Well, the question that he might have prepared himself mentally for was, why wasn't Brady in practice?
And the answer would have been, I assume, the same thing that you would have.
Well, the way it was phrased, it was more pointed. So, and Michael Reese, who asked the question, did it that way so that he would try to elicit a pointed response.
So you don't read anything into the fact that
I think.
Do you guys think it could be he's been a little off lately? I mean, he's been overthrowing a lot of receivers. Do you think maybe he just needed they just gave him a day off just to?
I don't know. I thought he was outstanding last night, but I agree with you overall.
I wasn't there last
Overall, I do agree with you. I thought on Monday we saw him miss guys. I mean, Lawrence Maroney, he missed on that little wheel route coming out of the backfield.
There wasn't a guy within 30 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you just never see Brady miss passes like that. But last night I thought he was very sharp. And I actually used him as my who's hot. I said I'll take my first cop out of camp here and go with Tom Brady, who obviously
2-time Super Bowl MVP, really going on a limb there.
I have an eye for talent.
Paul says guaranteed roster spot for Brady.
there's no scenario that.
Also, under the heading of misdirection, most of the media assume that Brady would talk today. So by not having him there,
didn't assume. We're
a lot
told.
Of guys.
Well, that's
we're
a lot
told.
Of guys
oh no.
Be here today. We're here for nothing, and they'll either have to come back tomorrow or bag it. So he'll have less of an audience.
Well, if that had anything to do with it, then that's wrong, because they specifically said on Monday that he will talk on Wednesday, and that's not right if you're intentionally deceiving everybody.
All right.
I mean, I don't care, because I had no need
to. You mean like saying Maroney needs to get dressed, and then he'll talk, and then ushering him out of the locker room?
Right. And there's no, I mean, if you don't want to have him
George
talk,
Papadopoulos.
That's fine. But the other part of that, for a personal perspective, I hate that fact because you're right, Fred. There was a lot more media here today, mostly because they knew that Brady was going to talk.
TV guys.
Now he's going to talk tomorrow, and I'm hoping that doesn't mean that we're going to get the same amount of media because there's a couple of things
I assume.
Yeah, and we're going
to
especially
get
the Red Sox.
People need to get them.
And the Red Sox are off tomorrow, which obviously adds to the media corps anyway. So that's unfortunate that happened because I look forward to the days when the media corps is smaller. You get a chance to kind of get a little bit more specific with your questions.
Yeah.
See, the only thing I like about when Brady talks is you're going to get your other interviews because everybody goes to Brady and you can request whoever.
They just set up.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Gary, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
There it is! Gillette Stadium explodes!
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931. 1-800-981-2222 to get your ticks.
Get your kicks.
And get the revolution.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Back here at PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch, Andy Hartop, and Sally, Paul Perillo, Gary in the booth, and I guess we had a little technical problem at the beginning of the show, so if you missed the beginning of the show, you can always listen to us on the archive and fill in the blank.
I thought it was something about best stuff.
Or the podcast. We're big on the podcast the now,
yeah,
Fred.
We're killing
Fred,
the
I have
podcast.
A good story
killing.
For you.
Okay, what's
the podcast
here?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I had to do it in my office. Chris set me up with the laptop because the office with the microphone was off, was closed. So I got about a minute into it, and the cleaning woman came in, opened the door, you know, unlocked my door, walked in. Oh, I'm sorry.
They do,
you're
that, that happened to me before, too.
So I had to do it over again.
Apparently, they don't understand when the door's closed and it says do not enter.
All the doors
why
are closed.
Does it say, do not
this
enter?
Is what I don't understand about this place. We're so gung-ho on security here and all that stuff. Meanwhile, we go home. Everybody's office is wide open because it's cleaning people just leave
right.
The door's open.
Oh, my door's never
and my fiance.
No, they leave it open.
They leave it open all night.
They come through and open up every door in the office and then go back and clean every.
You know what I don't like about
them.
The cleaning people? They move stuff around on my desk, and I'm very anal about where my stuff is, and I can always tell when they've been screwing around.
Okay.
I got a lot of complaints.
I don't have any of those issues.
I'll hit you up in the review this year.
I wouldn't know if anything was moved in my office.
Well, there's no way you could
storm came through.
Well, you have
no
a weapon in your
know.
Office. What's that knife you have on your desk?
That's my throat slashing knife.
That's nice talk.
Yeah. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at patriots.com. We get to some emails, but before we do, anything else you want to bring up, coming up? Going to Arizona's coming here on Saturday.
I think that's going to be a great test because, you know, as I always say, Denny Green plays his starters for about six quarters in the preseason. He tries to win games. So I think the receivers up against the cornerbacks specifically is what I'm going to be watching. And they have, for Patriot fans that don't know much about the Cardinals, they have a phenomenal safety, Adrian Wilson. You hear about Roy Williams all the time on ESPN, you know, every time they show that Kellen Winslow highlight, he's the guy coming up with it on the tackle. But if you're looking for the next Rodney Harrison, this is the guy. He blitzes, he plays the run, he plays the pass. A very good player that doesn't get talked about a lot, so that's something for Patriot fans to watch.
You mentioned the receivers. We talked about that a little bit in the tent today because you know, the scout team guys are wearing the jersey numbers, but it's kind of silly because they're not even close to what the actual player is. Sometimes they do a decent job and they find a guy who fills the role, but...
But even Bryant Johnson,
yeah,
a machine, he's
yeah,
huge.
But the only thing I say, they had Henry with the 11 on,
right,
at least yesterday. I don't know, I think...
Today he had it on as well.
He's fairly similar,
right,
in stature. I mean, obviously...
But they had...
They don't have anyone out there that can play
the talent.
Right.
They had Eddie Berlin, I think, today with Bolden. I mean, he's half of Bolden.
I couldn't think of a
Patriots
further,
Football Weekly.
I mean, unless having me or Andy out there.
Literally half of Anquan Bolden. Yeah. That's not even close.
But P. Cobbs wearing the Edge jersey.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
But that's going to be an interesting matchup because I know a lot of us have questions about how are the Patriots going to stand up against some of the better offenses in the league. So this will be a good test for their defensive backs, especially.
And along those secondary lines, Eugene Wilson took pretty much all his reps today at free safety with Hobbs and Samuel at corner.
Definitely more
and
safety
Artrell
today
Hawkins
than we've seen for the most part.
And the one thing to watch on offense is the Cardinals blitz a lot in the preseason. So if Brady starts getting hit early, he might not be in there too long.
If he plays.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much we're going to see him.
With a day off?
You know, with a day off today, I thought
maybe that's the thing. Maybe they figured, let's give Castle all the snaps because he's the one that's going to be playing. So why have Brady even suit up?
Castle might throw like 150 passes this preseason.
And Castle, I thought, I don't know how Andy felt about this, but I thought Castle had a better day today, you know, as the only quarter. You know, the other times that he was running the show, I thought he was a little erratic. Today he looked a little... He had one play, one running play that he appeared to be not on the same page with Dylan. And Dylan,
Dylan threw the ball at him and literally, I think, barked. I think he roofed.
But for the most part, I thought he was pretty accurate with his passing and made some, you know, the throws came out when they were supposed to today.
Right, not as much plays blown dead because he's holding the ball or anything like that.
It was 7-on-7 or team drills, team period. I thought he was a little bit sharper today.
And I think that'll be a good test for him because, like we said, he hangs on the ball a lot. But when I was watching the Cardinals play the Steelers, I think they blitzed 6 straight times. So this will give Castle some of that quick get rid of the ball work that he needs to work on.
One other thing I want to bring up, there was a report by the Patriots' number one beat writer, Mike Reese, about Scott Pioli down in Dallas scouting line.
Way to pimp your own guys there, Fred.
And any comment on that?
He goes back old school.
Scott Shanley? I think that would be an excellent pickup. An excellent pickup for two reasons. One, Oliver Hoyt has a better chance of making the Cowboys and making me and Andy look good. And two, Shanley is a borderline starting linebacker, meaning that he probably won't win the starting job in Dallas, but if he was the starter, it wouldn't be like a tragedy.
And right now on this team, he'd be a starter because they don't have starters.
Right, and the thing with the Cowboys is I was watching their preseason game, and they showed their list of linebackers. They got like 10 that could make the team, and they moved Greg Ellis to outside linebacker, a switch he wasn't too crazy about, but now he's loving it. So they're going to go with Ware and Ellis on the outside. Now they've moved Bobby Carpenter inside to go along with Brady James. So that makes Shanley expendable, and I think he would be a good fit here next to Teddy Bruschi.
So let's try to figure out the tackle.
Here's the other question now. What are you giving up for?
Well, probably a draft pick next year.
Well, it said they were looking for a tackle, that they had somebody
here
scouting.
You know what else Dallas is looking for? A receiver.
Jonathan Sullivan.
Yeah, but... I kind of ignored that one because we don't have a receiver to give him.
Oh, you do. He's sitting out.
I'm certainly not
trading Deion Branch
Shanley. How about a first-round draft pick and Scott Shanley for Deion Branch?
Would you give Brandon Gorin for Shanley?
First-round pick and Shanley.
You know what, Fred?
I don't know anything about this Shanley, but if
Fred,
he could start, if you get a starter
Fred's
and a first-round pick.
Fred's on the right track there.
Well, I would trade Deion Branch for a first-round pick.
Amazingly, Fred Kirsch with a great, great point. The Cowboys are in desperate need.
I can't believe you're going to do this. Go ahead. I'll let you get it all up. Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
What?
Tell me what the great point that Fred is.
Did you say something?
Tell me what the great point that Fred just made.
Oh, did you make it first? I didn't hear you if you did. Well,
what are we talking about?
He can't even keep the smirk off his face.
Did you say it earlier today? About
30 seconds ago.
Well, Paul with a great point then. Because it looks like Ryan O'Callaghan is really...
Just so you know, it's not even the story actually said.
Oh, and I haven't read
to
it.
To steal a phrase from Paul Perillo, I'd drive Brandon Gorin to the airport.
No question.
Because he's at best a backup offensive lineman in the NFL.
And the Cowboys...
Some people believe Andy Gresh on the score in Providence, as he said during one radio interview with me, he sucks.
But what you're doing there is you're trading depth for depth. Dallas has depth at linebacker,
exactly.
Not the offensive line.
And those
line
are good trades. That's
a
how
good
trades
trade.
Get
I would trade
Cashier.
Fine trade. Scott Shanley comes here. He starts opening day next to Bruschi if Bruschi's playing.
Next
not, he's starting anyway.
He starts either way.
Next to Vrabel. Gardner, if he's not.
He's
or
better than Gardner.
Next to Vrabel.
And
that's what I'm asking, what kind of guy
back Shanley on the
TBC is.
Train after Bill gave him the best camp ever.
I wouldn't even put Gardner and Shanley. And I don't want to overblow Shanley like he's the greatest linebacker ever. But as far as playing and compared to the guys they have here, I think he would come in and be one of their top inside linebackers right away if he could pick up the system.
Is he a true inside linebacker, like a stout run stuffer, or is
that's my question.
What is he?
I wouldn't call him a Ted Johnson type, but he's good enough. He's better than what they have.
All right. I think that's it for the news. Anything else that we want to update people on before we get to the emails?
News.
No, stuff that we can, I mean, anything else we can just go as we,
tomorrow's the last,
as we go.
Tomorrow's the last day of, open practice.
Word.
That's it.
Maybe, what about this?
Woo!
And Branch for T.O. and Shanley.
Now we're doing blockbuster trades.
Well, I'll tell you what, T.O.'s time in Dallas, it's almost over with. He's going to be lucky if he makes it through camp. If
he's unbelievable. He's a showman
Bill
first
Parcells
and a player
Bill
is
ready
second.
To blow. And he is ready to blow.
There's a lot of problems.
Do you guys say that?
They don't know who their quarterback's going to be.
You don't believe that he's going to be a...
what?
But do you guys say that because you don't believe that he's really hurt, that he has a hamstring problem?
Well, that's what you're hearing from down there.
Oh, I think the day he showed up on that bike wearing that...
Lance Armstrong.
There's no question. The whole act, the T.O. act, is going to wear
and Parcells, look at me. Draw,
Parcells
I have to have attention.
Deal with that. I understand
he would live
that.
With it if he was on the field... You know, practicing, like he says, as long as you're on the field producing,
right.
He can live with it. But
right. This
guy's not doing nothing.
Plus, from what I've read, the MRI showed nothing. And then T.O. comes out after practice and runs routes full speed. So he's just doing whatever he feels like doing.
Have you ever heard of a player who's injured, if he is injured, wanting the attention the way he
no.
does?
And
you should be out of sight, out of mind when you're
and
injured.
It's like I
he
told,
always
it's
wants
like
the
I
attention.
Told Andy, I now believe the guy is certifiably crazy.
Yeah.
It's not an act. He's not looking for more money because of his act. The guy is absolutely nuts, and he can't control himself.
He'll be an interesting guy to keep an eye on after football and
yeah,
when he's not in the limelight
might,
anymore and how that
Mike,
unfolds.
This might be a Mike Tyson type of story where it doesn't end well.
Right.
Yeah, he is.
I think you're right. I think you guys are all right.
All right. Matt from Cambridge writes
Matt.
In.
He's
Cambridge, England, not Cambridge, Mass.
Oh, nice.
He says, thanks for the great coverage of camp and preseason so far. Just a couple of questions for you to answer. After Patrick Cobb's performances in camp and against the Falcons, do you see him as a natural successor to Kevin Faulk? With Faulk now over 30, can you see Cobb's replacing him in the same way it seems Maroney will replace Dylan? Secondly, after Clinton Portis's injury and his whining afterwards about preseason, do you guys think the NFL would be better with 2 preseason games and 16 regular season games? It would give less of a chance to young players, but would replace 2 dull games with exciting and competitive games, in my opinion. I think he means
18 regular
season games. What do you guys think
well, can
about
I,
that?
Can I just say something about the Portis injury? I find it comical that he's making a big deal out of this because it was the first preseason game. Now, if he got injured in the third or fourth preseason, I don't know. This would have happened
right.
under any system. He would have
right.
gotten hurt.
Unless you have no preseason games.
Right. So, I mean, they can change it if they want, but Clinton Portis is getting hurt no matter what system they have because it was the first quarter, the first preseason game he played in.
It's unfortunate, but there's not really
You've got to have him play eventually. What do you think about Patrick Cobb's being a possible successor to Kevin Faulk?
Possible down the line, but not in the way
well,
Lawrence Maroney is
on the roster, though.
You don't.
Keep him on the roster.
On the practice
he goes
squad.
To the practice squad.
And then somebody else can pluck him.
And maybe you sell to him, look, Kevin Faulk is this. We like what you've done in camp. If you're here a year, who knows? There might be a legitimate Kevin Faulk battle in a year or two. Stay with us. Invest the time. We see a future for you. But you can't keep him on the roster.
I don't think
I love
anybody,
the guy as much as anyone.
I was just going to say, I don't think there's anybody who's been higher on Patrick Cobb than the four of us in this
yes.
room. We've seen pretty much every practice. It's probably
we were the first
probably,
ones to bring him out.
All four of us individually have probably missed less than 3 practices each. And we've seen this guy stand out at virtually every practice. He looks good. He's out there every day. He shows a good burst, great hands, shifty. Andy said
your
today,
future diary on Patriots.com.
Andy said today, you know, you saw him with the Edgerrin James scout team work. The guy is a valuable practice guy looking to make, you know, a name. But let's not lose sight of the fact that not only he was undrafted, he wasn't invited to the combine
right.
despite rushing for over 4,000 yards in college. He didn't even earn an undrafted free agent contract. he had to come to a rookie minicamp without a contract as a tryout.
Now, why is that?
So let's not, you know, say we can't put this guy on the practice.
In his one defense, he did play in an option offense in college, and that sometimes hurts your evaluation when you're looking at a running back. But I think Paul's right. We all love Patrick Cobbs, but we need to temper our enthusiasm a little bit, because if someone does bad in a preseason, the first preseason game, we all say it's only preseason. So when you gain 105 yards in your first total yards in your first preseason game, we still need to see a little bit more. I mean, Kevin
Falk. I love this guy, and I talked to him today for about 5 minutes, and I think he has a great attitude. He's a Patriot kind of guy. I mean, very cool.
Oh, you talked to him, did you?
Yeah, very team-oriented.
Okay. I see how it is now.
Very team-oriented.
Next time you tell Cobb,
guy.
You tell him he's next. He's on my list. You blow off Tom Casale. I'm not the editor.
Hey,
I see how it goes.
Cobb's just killing on the internet. But I was very impressed with how he handled himself today, talked about his story. He actually mentioned to me that he had received a contract from, I believe it was Montreal in the CFL. The day the contract came and he was set to sign it, was the day the Patriots called to invite him to a tryout for the rookie minicamp. So, well, I mean, that's how close this guy was to being.
Jeez, Paul, that sounds like a good Pulse story. Yeah. It would have been a lot better than the garbage story
there,
I'm doing on Lindsay and Woods.
I know there's a minimum that you have to pay guys on the practice squad.
Right.
Is there a maximum?
No.
In other words, can you pay a guy as much as you want just to keep him on the practice squad?
Pay him a full salary.
And to avoid going to another team?
Yes, you can.
But
okay.
Again, I'm going to get back to my point. This is a guy that nobody wanted. They thought so little of him that he wasn't even invited to the combine.
Right, I won't get excited.
And we're concerned about putting him on the practice squad and having him clear waivers.
And we're also unfairly really comparing him to Kevin Falk, who that's a disrespect
to
Kevin Falk.
But he's got the things. How about replacing Patrick Pass?
Well, now, Andy could do that,
but he's a different kind of
guy. Well, I don't know. Patrick Pass is stuck around quite a long
Patrick
time.
Pass I'm not, I plays just, fullback for them, plays special teams. I'm not sure it's the exact same role.
I understand the Patrick
He's closer
Pass
to Kevin Falk
Patrick
in a role.
Patrick Cobbs is half of Patrick Pass.
I think you can find 100 people that do what Patrick Pass does for this team, and I think Heath Evans is one of them.
Heath Evans might have
Heath
that
Evans
role.
Might take
Patrick
over.
Pass hasn't been on the field yet. I don't see him being on the opening day roster. I got to be honest with you.
I saw him coming to the stadium today, though, so he is here.
Paul.
Did you really?
I'm with Paul.
Let's
see. He's not on my 53 right now, I'll tell you that.
George writes in, George from Gloucester, Rhode Island.
Gloucester.
Do you see Tully Bantakane taking over McGinnis's role as the pass rush offensive linebacker?
Did you have an itch on your ankle and you just stopped reading?
Mid cut. I don't know.
And you just said
he's caught.
Offensive
it's a bad cut.
He's an offensive linebacker.
Got a
linebacker.
Cut on my leg.
I agree. Tom's a better host.
Bantakane taking over offensive line from
offensive
what
line.
What are you saying? Linebacker.
I like the switch to Bantakane to the offensive line. They're looking for some depth there.
Brett just has us on a pay no mind list right now.
What is wrong with you?
He keeps saying offensive linebacker.
He's
has no idea why
outside
we're
linebacker.
It. Okay.
He got a very good compliment from Bill Belichick the other day.
I think that he's
how much of those
good.
Compliments that Bill gives at this time of the year are so that the guy might get some attention from another team, helping him along.
Well, I was asking Paul that. Like, is this the kind of thing where you say, oh, no, the manager's safe. He's coming back next year, and 2 days later he gets
fired. Bill's done that in the past. He has given guys, like, letters of recommendation type answers.
Right.
But I just, with the lack of depth on this team, he's the only guy.
There's a letter of recommendation, I can tell you that much.
I don't know. Bill was very high in his second half of minicamp. Training camp. Once he learned the defense, he's been on the rise for the last week.
See, I don't. I'm definitely in the minority because I know Brian felt this way and Andy feels this way. I don't feel like Bill has done that with his own players as often as you guys do. I think the other team's players he gushes over always, and we have no idea what he really thinks about that. But I think that when you talk about...
Except for Tom Nalen, the center of the Broncos.
Right. I
mean, he's all right.
Yeah, he wouldn't give him anything. And Pete Kendall wasn't so high on either.
He had a lot to say, huh?
But... The point I'm trying to make is when I see him talk about a guy like Tully Bantakane and specifically say this has been his best camp by far, he's had his most opportunities, then he talks about the instincts that maybe he's finally developing as he's made this position change on that play that
Tom
Curran brought up.
He did seem genuine on that when he was talking about him on that play.
I don't think that's – I took it that way, and maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that he was being fairly genuine, and I agree with Andy today with Eric Warfield. For him to say that, I don't want to say he got off to a slow start, but there were other guys that got off to a quicker start than he did. But there was a point that he seemed to click, and he's been very impressed. That's been a big positive with his play over the last week or so has really been on the rise.
And Warfield admitted he got off to a slow start. We don't need Bill to tell us that.
Right. I mean,
Warfield
talks to me about not having the playbook and being completely lost.
I mean, Warfield is not going to start for this team.
No, I know.
I mean,
he's
in the fight for his life.
Right.
If he has
but there's
start,
a lot of bodies in that mix.
I still think
mix.
He's in a fight for his life for a spot, period. I'm not saying that because Bill said that today. Right. He's a lock.
But I'm not going to yell and scream if he makes the team. The only thing I'm going to be concerned about, if there's injuries and they have to put him out there to start, then I'm going to get a little nervous.
Is he better than Hank Poteet or Troy Brown? Because to me, that's what he has to be.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, do those two ever start?
Hank Poteet did.
For this team.
He started games for this team.
Did they win?
I think so.
Or that Belichick.
It was an AFC championship, wasn't it?
There's a shiny trophy in one of those cases.
That Belichick and coach, that's all I can
say. Oh, there's no question. He could take me, you, and Paul and make a decent secondary out of it.
If you're asking,
I'm not included in that.
Yeah, you're a little short.
I just think if you ask Warfield to cover a starting receiver, he's going to be in trouble, which he was in Kansas City. And
well,
I think we've seen this with Monty Beisel. Like,
I think here he's a four at best.
Andy made a good point. Monty Beisel's being put in a position he shouldn't be in. If you start Eric Warfield, that's the position he shouldn't be in.
Right.
Two, with Mel Mitchell out as a special teams ace and the lack of depth at wide receivers, should the Patriots be making a run at Kasim Osgood of the Chargers?
There's no way Kasim Osgood's going nowhere. I watched their preseason game, and their announcers must have talked about this guy for 30 minutes about how high the team is on him and what an incredible camp he's having, and this is the guy who's going to take over for Rashay Caldwell and blah, 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 so I think we can forget about that.
I don't really understand where it came from either. Like,
the guy who's taking over for Mel Mitchell, by the way, is Tabucky Jones, according to what he talked about earlier
this
week.
Much to his dismay.
Yeah, and I didn't think he was all that happy about it either. But you know, he's been a part of more special teams units now than he was when his first tour of duty here, from 98 to 2002.
Okay. Let's see. The next email is...
He's not here today.
He spends so much time ignoring us to read the emails early and then still screws the hell out of
them. And then if I don't, we get criticized for not screening the emails. PFW in progress at its worst.
But you screened it and still said, Tully Bantakane, offensive linebacker.
This
next email comes from Peter in Veszprém, Hungary.
Wow.
So way out there.
We're big and hungry. This
and
is like
he has,
a third
he has
different
some
name
questions
from Hungary.
About MP3 downloads. So maybe Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, when he has a chance, can email and answer that first half of it. But I'll get to the second half. He says, the linebacker in the wideout group does concern me. And also, as we Europeans do believe in written contracts, so I don't like Branch's behavior while he's still on the contract. I did like to play a Posey in Buffalo, and after he was cut there, I hoped that he would generate some interest in the Patriots. In the meantime, I understand that he was injured a lot, and a freak injury could change everything in the ability of a player. At this point, my only hope is the really weak schedule this year, and I guess Tom Brady. Wow, so...
My only hope is a weak schedule.
Wow, so...
How far they've fallen.
And I guess Tom Brady. Like,
the dynasty is over, I guess.
Hungry, you know, out on the ledge.
I don't, you know, if... If you looked at this team objectively, I don't think every Patriot fan in the world should not have any concerns. Because
but I don't think you should also only win games because of bad opponents.
Right. No,
I mean, you still have Brady. We just talked about the running game. Belichick. There's a chance Branch comes back. Belichick. You got Vrabel. You have Seymour. You have guys that can make plays.
What time is it, Fred?
12:46.
Yeah, well, at 12:46, Tom has concerns. We'll see what it is at 1:50.
No, I'm saying
everything
Super Bowl,
rosy.
Baby, 14-2, baby. Going to the Super Bowl. I'm on record. Well, I'm just saying, you guys joke about me talking about, oh, they got Belichick. But the thing about that is that
it's an enormous advantage.
It's good for 8 wins because he'll just out-coach and out-smart 8 people. So, really, they only need like 2 or 3 more wins and they're in the playoffs.
I agree. Well, true. I don't think there's anybody that thinks that they're not going to be a playoff team. No. I mean, they'd have to have a serious injury.
I'm not so sure how
injury.
Peter and Budapest are
I'm not
hungry
talking
kids.
About 10 injuries. I'm talking about a serious injury to number 12. That's the only way they're not making the playoffs.
Let's see. Gary writes in, as preseason games go, Saturday nights was pretty entertaining. I thought Castle
Gary.
Was good considering his experience. The Dylan Maroney 1-2 punch gives us all the idea that this year's Pats will be a power rushing team, and the Cobbs kid could be our Kevin Falk of the future. I also think Tully Bannekane showed he's ready to step up among others. My question is, can you guys give an assessment of the defensive backs? When you're watching on TV, it's hard to get a feel of the performance. Did anyone stand out? And one more thing, If you've got time, I think Dallas could have a great season this year with Bledsoe and the crew Parcells has assembled. What would you think of a meeting of the Patriots and Cowboys in Miami for this year's Super Bowl?
Tremendous.
It would be one of the best matchups of all time.
Let's not talk about that. That would be
very much
fun. I think without question it would be the most, the highest anticipated Super Bowl in
the world. It would be any.
And
the
I would
week
not
before
be able
that game
it.
Would be a writer's delight.
I would definitely make sure that Beth is pregnant. So
it would be the most watched Super Bowl of all time, and the record probably wouldn't be broken for 10 years. I mean, usually they
usually
get broken every couple years because more and more people are watching it. But this one would be so highly hyped, and so many people would watch it, and all the Cowboy fans in the world, it would just shatter any record.
Plus, Tom Casale would get his dream because he'd cover the Cowboys all week. Oh.
Well, no, I'd get to talk to Roy Williams and say, why do you keep going to the Pro Bowl every year? You don't make any tackles.
Parcells didn't teach Belichick squat.
You'd clam up like you do when Corey Dillon's sitting next to you at a golf tournament.
No way. Roy Williams isn't even the same league with Dillon. As far as me,
his girlfriend from whatever that
Dillon, I'm not saying a word.
So what about the defensive backs, which is the other question?
I think
Samuel's having a fine camp.
Well, what about
fine
the other camp. Night, Friday night? I thought, you know, he got beat for the touchdown, but I hate doing this because we've seen a million guys who are always there but never make the play. I think he makes a share of plays.
I was going to say, we've seen him make plays. It's not like it's become repetitive that he's there, but
he
gets beat.
That play didn't concern me as much as it was written about. Let's put it that way.
I'm going over to Paul's side a little bit.
Watching
the games on TV, like most of my time before I got here, I kind of thought he was average. But now seeing him in a game situations and out in training camp, I think I would say he's by far their best corner. I mean, most consistent corner. They don't have a...
They don't have a shutdown corner.
And that's one of the things that concerns me, getting back to the previous email. But the thing about Samuel, I don't understand. And I'm not saying that he is one of those Champ Bailey guys, because he's far from
right.
it. But what I don't understand is why it seems around here, you listen to the talk on the radio, you listen and you read the stories in the media, I think this guy is vastly underrated. And I know Andy kind of disagrees with me a little bit on this. Kind of. Not that you'd think that he's a stiff, but I don't understand what they saw last year with Ellis Hobbs that Asante Samuel wasn't doing, you know, when he first came here. He's a guy who makes some plays. He's a guy that gives up some plays. And kind of is what he is. I don't think he's a star. I don't think he's a stiff. He's much better than some of the guys they've trotted in here, you know, in the past, you know, Starks last year. And he's not as good as guys like Ty Law. He's somewhere in the middle. I don't know where he's going to end up, but I think he is what he is at this point.
I think you hit on it, Paul, that everyone knows that Samuel is what he is.
Right.
And people were hoping that, maybe Ellis Hobbs
right.
is the...
It's the backup quarterback. It's
but
the next guy.
I don't see any difference between Ellis Hobbs last year and Asante Samuel in 2003. I just don't.
I see a big difference in camp. I mean, other than one writer from the Providence Journal.
That's the other thing.
Samuel is a quiet guy.
Right.
Like a show of yourself, and it gets you out there more.
Yeah.
And it attracts people like me.
He's a very quiet guy.
I mean,
guy
you know, Hobbs screws up, he throws his helmet.
Right. Or he makes a play, and he pumps and does all kinds of crap.
I see that from Samuel.
Right.
You know.
I think
Paul's right. I think ability-wise, I think they're comparable.
I think Samuel is fine.
Fred, remember all the plays that Samuel made in 2003?
Yeah.
Now, he gave up a lot of plays, too, as a young guy, and we just kind of...
And he made some hits in the backfield.
Right.
He had some nice hits.
I think all he lacks is speed. I just don't think he has the speed to be an elite corner, because I think he plays physical, he can tackle, and I think within the first 15 yards, but if a guy turns and runs, I think that's when he has trouble.
I'll tell you one thing. He may have been the Patriots' best defensive player on the field in that playoff game in Denver last year. He played an outstanding game.
Yeah, he did.
But I think if he had that speed, I think he could.
D'Angelo Hall and Champ Bailey can get burnt like Samuel gets burnt, but they have that speed where they make it up when the ball's in the air.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm overrating him. I'm not putting him in that kind of category. He's not that player, nor will he ever be that kind of player.
He's a starting NFL cornerback.
I have no problem with him being one of my starting cornerbacks. And it seems like a lot of people around here have been dying to get him back to a nickel role. And I think he's better than that.
Well, in theory, I mean, yeah, I'd love to have him in a nickel role.
Worried about the nickel role.
Yeah, Tom, I mean, Andy, if I had two Ty Laws, I'd love to have Asante Samuel coming off the bench.
I think Samuel, combined with Belichick and Dean Pease's schemes, is fine as my starting quarterback.
You know, I'm worried a little bit about the nickel back.
Probably no area more so than the secondary. They really disguise stuff.
You guys worried about the nickel back at all? Like that third guy who comes in?
Well, it depends. Are they going to use Wilson as a corner? Then no. Because if they have a three-man rotation of Wilson, Samuel, and Hobbs, I'm okay with that. But, you know, I'm starting to wonder now.
I think that went the other way today. I think we saw the starting secondary on the field.
We'll have to find out.
Was Wilson back at safety?
Safety. It was Hawkins, Wilson. Hobbs and Samuel. I think you saw the starting
team. The big question you have to ask, Andy, is Rodney Harrison.
Well, see, I don't think he's going to be ready.
Well, that's but.
And I certainly don't think he's going to be ready to day one play 60 minutes.
But what my point is, yesterday, for example, and Tom was there, you know, with me, and even Monday night in the stadium, we noticed Rodney was playing safety with Hawkins and Wilson was playing corner.
Yeah, but you noticed that last night they had shorts on. He's not going to do it when they have full pads on, Harrison, yet.
No.
They're not going to put him out
there.
Well,
he didn't suit up today.
That's what I'm saying. They were in full pads this morning.
No, but there's also, you know, a lot of time left before we have to have him be in full
pads. I'm just saying he's not ready to take the full contact.
I know that, but they know when he's going to be ready. They have a good idea.
They don't know.
Well, let me ask you, Paul. Is there a chance that Wilson plays safety, but when they play teams like the Colts with Stokely and the Bengals with Henry,
he's going to be covering one of those guys. Right. That's how they've done it. Yeah. You know, and Bill talked about, you know, the whole thing with three receiver sets being so much more prevalent nowadays. You need that.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to have more guys in the field. You can't really have two traditional safeties that are, you know, kind of the Lawyer Malloy, Rodney Harrison type that are, you know, big, run-stopping, you know, physical presence. You know, I mean, you need to have a guy that can do both. Not to say that those guys couldn't do both. And obviously, we've seen Harrison do both a lot.
But they have two of those guys right now, and they're starting secondary with Wilson and Hawkins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can have one who doesn't do both. The Cowboys have one.
And you rip him all the time.
Sean from Tampa, Florida, he wants to thank us for doing the podcast. It's good for him because he lives down in Florida. He loves that. Questions about Chad Jackson. We don't know what's going on with
him.
Day to day. He thought that Matt Castle had a decent game against the Falcons since he was lacking a few quality receivers, which could give a lot of NFL QBs no one to throw to. Your thoughts? I thought he had a decent game. I thought he started rough, and then, you know, I think the game slowed down in his mind a little bit, and once that happened, he started to get a little bit of a rhythm.
I'm just worried about if it's, say, Brady gets hurt week four.
Right.
And we know Castle's going to start for 4 weeks. Now team's game plan for Matt Castle, I'm worried that he's not quite ready for that.
That's what it is. It's all how you look at it.
I think he's got the physical ability.
But, Fred, if you look at him as the number two quarterback who you have to count on, he didn't play well.
But I think
you look at him as the second-year player who didn't play in college, he played very well.
I think the more reps he's going to take, the more he sees live action at full speed, the better he's going to be. And I think,
well, I agree with that.
You know,
You're not a playoff team with him in the game.
I'm not going to look at him right now and say, oh, he'll never be a number two quarterback.
Oh, no, no. I think
he's got the potential.
Oh, yeah. He's a number two right now.
I'm talking about a legitimate
problem.
Earning that.
Season in 2007, there'll be no question that he'll be ready to come in. And
unfortunately, if Brady breaks his leg in September, it's now.
We're just rolling the dice this year.
Right,
I
agree. Perfect.
I think you're
rolling the dice. Yeah.
I like a lot of what I see out of him. I agree with everything you guys have just said. On Friday, I thought that he was, you know, frankly, I thought he was terrible in the first half.
Yeah,
you
know, I think it was
five straight series.
Too fast for him.
Well, I don't know. For whatever reason it was. I
mean, or the talent dropped in the second half.
And Kelvin Kite was lining up against D'Angelo Hall.
Well,
that's
always a problem.
It's all relative, Andy. The talent dropped on the other side, but so did his offensive line. So did his, you know, everything drops. And
the receivers were pretty much the same.
Right.
You only have one group of receivers.
You had Garrett Mills out there, and he looked good. So, and he made him look good. He got him the ball. So it's all relative.
I thought the only play in the first half that he looked at all to do like he wanted to do was the pass to Watson. That's really the only play that I looked at in the entire first half. I think it was five straight 3-and-outs.
The fumble.
4 3-and-outs and a fumble.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't his fault.
And the fumble was not his fault at all.
That was the guy they just traded to Dallas's fault.
The fumble was not his fault
at all. Sean says, any idea if they're going to post any more touchdown songs on Patriots.com? Not a fan of the songs listed. Granted, they are a lot better than having the theme song for the Giants. I don't know what that means. What's the theme song for the Giants?
I don't know.
New York, New York? I don't know.
But
did you vote, Fred?
I did.
What'd you vote for?
I think I voted for the 1812 Overture. I think that would be cool.
I don't really know what that is. I skipped over.
Oh, come on.
July 4th?
No, I know, but it's classical music, so I skipped over it. I don't want to hear that.
Oh, God.
I was looking for something more modern, and we're going back 200 years.
I couldn't tell you a song.
I think it should be a Bon Jovi song. not only do I prefer Bon Jovi, but he's good friends with Bill Belichick. He comes to practice. He supports him.
Patriots theme song, Living on a Prayer.
Well, I'm sure we could find one better than that.
I couldn't tell you what bad the song medicine. Is after any time
bad
any
medicine.
Stadium I've ever been in.
Paul doesn't think there should be songs.
No, I think you need songs.
That only encourages fans to stand up, and God knows what he thinks about
Paul,
that.
Not at all.
You know
I couldn't
like?
Disagree with that more, but I personally couldn't tell you what any of those
Paul
songs are.
Paul enjoyed the BU basketball game, the championship game years ago, where everybody was sick. Remember that? They had, like, meningitis, and they had to play it in an empty
right,
arena.
Right.
That's what Paul likes.
That's why I enjoyed, especially when Steve McCoy tipped in the game winner at the buzzer to send Siena to the tournament over BU.
So fans aren't happy with the song selection, huh?
Well, this one fan.
But we now can
overgeneralization by Andy Hart.
Well, that's what he does. That's
can a write-in really win?
I suppose.
There's a place on there for a write-in, right?
Yeah.
So if enough people wrote...
That's like writing in an all-star candidate in the ballot. And you never,
it's like when Mickey Mouse gets 10 votes for president.
The touchdown song should be that let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Isn't that Papelbon's song?
I think that's a good song.
Get out of here, Gary.
It is. He got it from Tom.
Gary, I voted for the Blur. Woo-hoo!
Joe in Winnipeg, Canada writes in. Thanks for the training camp coverage. See, I told you guys people would appreciate it.
It's our job.
It's okay that one guy wrote it and appreciated the coverage.
That's like everybody's saying the same
that's
thing.
That's not a
I told you guys had a covered training camp.
Let's see. I feel much more in tune with what's going on this season than in any other because of the work you're doing on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
I'm interested to hear.
Podcasts are killing. I gotta agree with Fred on that one.
Yeah.
I knew it. Everything he touches turns to gold.
I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say about the game in Atlanta. I thought Castle performed reasonably well. However, I was concerned when I saw him run the ball. It looked like he took a couple of shots that he didn't need to. Can the Patriots afford to only carry two quarterbacks if Castle is going to take shots like that from Atlanta's second and third team defense? Do you think the Patriots have an Antoine Randle L-type position player who could play quarterback if both players went down?
Nobody wants that, not even the Redskins. If the Redskins are trying Antoine
Randle
out
there. Kevin Falk, who is the emergency quarterback.
That's my guess, is that Kevin
Falk
will be a guy if they get in a pinch. But, you know, think about what the emailer just said. How can we afford to have Matt Castle taking those? Well, if Matt Castle's the number two quarterback, he's not going to be taking those shots.
Right.
So the chances of Matt Castle getting hurt in practice are pretty slim.
Out of curiosity, what became of Rohan Davey after the Patriots released him last year?
We'll see him Saturday.
We'll see him Saturday.
You might. He didn't. I don't think he played in the first game.
Rohan Davey is even worse.
And they played that awful John Navarre.
And they said they're going to play Leinart, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
So I'm going to guess we're not going to see Roe. Ramblin' Roe.
I would prefer if we didn't have to see John Navarre. God, does he suck. He stunk at Michigan, and he stinks in the NFL.
What do you really feel?
We just had the drop-in from Jen there, you know, about Rohan Davey.
No longer listens.
Boy, did she hate John Navarre.
Oh, he was terrible, and she knows.
She watches those Michigan games.
Let's see. Dave from Manchester, England.
Manchester, England.
We're big in Europe today.
He says, once again, I'd like to thank you guys for your great work on the show and the podcast. For us in the UK, these are a Patriots lifeline. My question this week is about the receiver situation. Chad Jackson at the moment is looking a little disappointing, and you guys don't appear to be very high in the rest of the group. So if the unthinkable happens and Deion holds out into the season, is there any encouragement you can offer us? Also, can you tell me what became of PK Sam and David Terrell? Lastly, to Paul, in Ask PFW this week, I love the use of the song lyrics in answer to Patrick Hinman's question, to which I'm sure Deion would add, asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no decent offers.
Yeah, but Paul didn't credit Paul Simon, and someone emailed him complaining about it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Who's that, Dave?
Dave from Manchester.
I appreciate Dave, pointing that out, because I was ripped by another emailer who said that I should have credited Paul Simon with that, although I wrote, as the old saying goes, and clearly stating that it wasn't my words that I was using. Right. Put it in quotes, and I guess
we're going by that rule. And I
somehow
have to,
offended
I,
Paul Simon.
Yeah, if we're going by that rule, and I have to credit Seinfeld every time I steal one of their lines.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
See, and there you go. And now I'm a plagiarist.
All right. Let's take a break, Gary. We'll be right back. A ton more emails.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough. Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks. Get your kicks and get the Revolution.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2! Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
I like that, Fred Zepp.
There's my candidate for a song that they should play. That's terrible. Terrible. Not my version, but Led Zeppelin.
Gary, what about Rolling? Those sickos, Led Zeppelin.
I'm sick of
Get rolling. Stupid songs. I can't stand them.
You don't like Led Zeppelin?
I liked them about 20 years ago.
Oh, my God.
I hate Led Zeppelin.
I never liked them.
I'm not a huge fan, but
let me hear Stairway to Heaven again. Never heard that one.
I'm certainly not like Tom where I'm going to get upset about it.
Jeez.
Definitely not a touchdown song. That was a terrible choice, Fred. Terrible.
No, that's not that.
Wow.
Jeez.
That's all right. It'll get better the last 10 minutes of the show.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
That's perfect.
Put that on the thing. I'm writing that in. Where's the ballot? I'm writing it in.
What good is that after a touchdown, though?
Wait, not this part.
Rolling.
Yeah, can you get to that part? You're making me look stupid here.
Yeah, this is a good one. All right.
Rolling part. Yeah.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Not enough.
You
gotta be up. You gotta get the fans up.
Yeah, that heavy metal, that really gets you up.
I didn't say that was the touchdown song. I said a song to be played in the stadium. It's a great song.
Now we're just going general?
thought we were looking
just
for
just don't vote for Thunderstruck. Please don't vote for that.
What's that?
That's from the AC/DC. There's so many stadiums use that song all over the place.
The AC/DC?
Huh?
The AC/DC?
Yeah.
We got to be careful because we're walking on some thin ice here with
about,
Barry.
What
we're
going to start ripping Who Let the Dogs Out? Why don't we play that?
Because it's stupid.
What are we going to do, the Macarena after that?
People love that song.
Let's get the wave going.
You know? Ron Borg just says, people love to see an execution at midfield. I mean, we're going to give it to them.
No, I'm not getting on Gary. I'm just saying don't vote for Thunderstruck. Any other song I can live
just
with.
Don't vote for the song he just said he took 8 months to find.
All right.
Do that.
Ethan from Delaware writes in, first, I want to publicly say I was wrong and you guys were right. The Maroney selection was a very good move during the draft.
After one preseason game. Everybody's
Thank
ready.
Thank you, Ethan.
Now on to my serious question. What exactly did things go wrong with the branch negotiations? I know that his side went with the old standby line about the insult of the opening offer from the Patriots, but that is what the Brady camp and the Seymour camp, as well as the guy at the car dealership, said to the opening offer. But negotiations continued after that. What really caused the negotiations to come to such a shuddering halt? Was the Deion camp that insulted by the offer that they decided to just wait until free agency and demand a no-franchise agreement? If so, how is this holdout going to really help him come next year? It's a good question, Ethan.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little lost on it myself. I don't understand how you get something done if you're not talking.
I mean, if the agent really, at this point, what he should say is, look, we're coming back to camp. We're going to free agency next year. If you franchise us, we're going to hold out next year.
Right.
You know? So I would take my chances.
I mean, and then I'm just playing devil's advocate here, Fred. Just playing devil's advocate. You see Vinatieri leave, he's kind of got some things to say. You see McGinnis leave, he's kind of got some things to say. Maybe word's getting around, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe players aren't happy here. Just playing devil's advocate.
Not me and Paul.
I'm just bringing it up as a point of discussion. I'm not saying that's what I believe, but what do you think about that, kind of like Vinatieri and McGinnis kind of, because those were rock guys when they were here.
I think that when you're on a team that you have so much success with, like McGinnis and Vinatieri, it's almost like, how could they let me go? I mean, God, how could they not want me? How could they let me go? And it's hard for them to understand that.
So you think
that.
It's sour grapes.
They might say that they know it's a business, but in the back of their mind, they had the best moments of their football lives with this team. How could they let me go? And that's where it comes from.
I'll tell you, there's one person you'll be glad that they let go is David Givens, because he will be serving a 4-game suspension at some point. Has anyone seen the size of that guy? He is as big as T.O., He is absolutely enormous. I couldn't believe him when I saw him playing in the Titans preseason game.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's always a good, you know, a good size dude here.
Yeah.
But he looks like David Boston. He is huge.
That's not a road he wants to be going down either.
No.
Speaking of suspensions, Corin Robinson, I guess, huh?
Oh, really?
Had a DUI, which could put him off for the entire year.
What was that?
So some of these guys.
Wait, Leanne Rimes, is he working on another touchdown song?
He thought he said Corin Robinson. He thought he said Leanne Rimes.
That's close.
All right.
I like that song.
So we'll have to keep an eye
out. That was William McGinnis.
All right. Eli from Kansas City, he said, last week I asked for a roster breakdown. Okay, big request, and it was shot down quick. You said you'll be doing one toward the end of the preseason. What will that be, a PFW print thing, or will it be on the web?
Both.
Be in the, How so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to do a feature, you know, a couple page spread on the 53-man roster for the next issue, which will be out next.
Projected 53.
Yeah, projected.
And I assumed we would do like an audio version on the show at some point.
We'll talk about it.
We could. That's kind of difficult.
Well, after you write it, we'll talk about it on the web.
Okay.
You love it when people talk about you.
Something like the Fringe guys, maybe, that you put in, like, if we agree or disagree. You know, obviously, we're not going to sit there and break down Richard Seymour and Ty Warren's spot.
And I was actually telling Tom yesterday that I have never I've done this, I think, the last 3 or 4 years. Brian did it last year, but I've done it most of the last 3, 4, 5 years, and I've never felt less confident about doing it before I started than I do this year. I feel like there's a lot of guys that I really have, you know, just you could name almost anybody and I'd be like, I really don't know. I could see a scenario that they're in or out. I mean, usually you get like 42, 43, 44 guys, absolute locks. And then you're just dealing with the last, you know, eight or nine.
Well, Paul, if I could...
I don't feel like I have anywhere near that many locks.
If I could offer you some words of wisdom, don't lose sight. Put in Kelvin Kite.
Who dropped the ball when it bounced off his face today.
Didn't look so good today.
Now, I found out, you know, I was kind of high on Kite when he first came here, but I found out his problem. He can't get open. We all know Bill Belichick says receivers need to do two things, get open and catch the football.
Right.
He only has one of those.
Yeah.
Let's see. So since the roster thing was a bit much, can you break down the people you think might be the late round or undrafted people making the roster? I was thinking players like O'Callaghan, LeKeven, Kite, etc. The players that might not only make the team but make some contributions. The Pats seem to find one every year.
Well, we can go into our. Is this a good time to go into our Jonathan Sullivan? What he looked like in the game? Because I read somewhere on the internet that Jonathan Sullivan played a decent game. Well, you didn't see the game on television right then because the guy got absolutely destroyed on every play. He was either like who said it, Paul or Andy? How can you get pancaked in 2 seconds if you weigh 330 pounds?
It's amazing, and I saw it happen to him more than once. Where I mean, right at the point of attack, there's a lineman on top of him.
It's like he has no balance.
It's absolutely amazing to watch. It's like one of those accidents you can't look away from. Every time he gets on the field, my eyes go right to him because he plays so poorly, I have to watch him. And for that reason, I think LaKeven Smith is a guarantee roster spot. Does he make your roster, Paul?
He makes my roster. Just by the fact that he's been involved in so much of the rotations. Obviously, he's doing something right to earn those opportunities.
LaKeven Smith, though, was a draft pick.
Right.
What guy do you think out of nowhere might come and make a contribution this year?
Make a contribution
I'm
not talking practice.
I don't think a lot of these guys that we're talking. I mean, I don't think LaKeven Smith is going to make a contribution this year. I think he'll make the team, but that's a big difference. I mean, I think O'Callaghan, as a late round draft pick, has a very good chance to make a contribution.
That's probably the best one.
Willie Andrews looks like
he
has a good chance.
But O'Callaghan, I think, is a lock for the roster.
No, we're talking about possibly
There's
starting.
There's a difference between, just making
the
team.
He'll be out there. He'll see some time.
I think. I mean,
start.
I think he's going to start.
I'm in agreement.
Nick Kazier has not been on the field yet.
Yeah.
It's awfully hard for me to believe
that he's
going to be
clearly elevating over Brandon Gorin, so.
Eli also says, I like your thoughts on the best stadiums in the NFL. I do have to say they are a bit crazy here in KC, and the fans just know how to celebrate game day. It's a great experience, and I think the amount of beer chugging before the game is unmatched. I'm going to be coming up and going to the Pats-Colts game this year. From the way you guys talk about the games in Gillette, it sounds like I might be in for a letdown with the fan base. What should I expect? And no, I don't need a tour of the stadium.
Well, I won't be for a letdown in terms of beer chugging.
Right, I was going to say, I disagree. I think fans that are loud consume the right amount of beer. Fred mentioned something last year that the people that come here are too drunk.
I wholeheartedly agree.
So there's probably more beer chugging here, just not as much noise.
Fred gets mad at me when I say that because somehow I'm anti having fun because I like to actually be able to
see
the game.
You're going to see the best of the fans because it's the Colts game. You know,
right?
When the few games that the Patriots fans have come out ready to go, they're good.
Yeah, but wait a minute, that's a night game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure you're going to see the best of them.
They'll be wheeling people in for that one.
I think they'll be hooting and hollering.
They'll be ossified.
Now, if the Patriots fall behind by 10 points, you know, they'll be back at the concession stands. But if it's a competitive game, I think it'll be loud.
It'll be loud in the press box, too, thanks to Bill Polian.
Yeah. Zaki Jobber Robinson, who's a staff sergeant in the U.S. Air Force, says,
Sarge?
I read today in the Boston Globe that Pioli was at the Cowboys practice yesterday scouting out players for a possible trade. The target supposedly is Scott Shanley. Can you tell me a little bit about him? Who else could be a possible target? And last, which tackle could you see the Pats trading to the Cowboys? Currently at work, but we'll definitely catch the podcast when I get home.
Means you already heard.
Me and Fred were talking earlier, and I said, could you imagine if they traded for Oliver Hoyt? I mean, that would be the greatest day of Andy Hart and Tom Casale's life.
We are the champions would play in the background.
Brandon Gorin, though, is as good a guess as any, right?
Yeah.
Drive him. Literally.
Well, I mean,
have to open the sunroof for his big head to stick out.
How good is this guy? How good is Shanley? I mean, might Dallas hold out for something better than Gorin? Might Dallas say,
like I said before, I didn't want to
be casual.
Gorin's a borderline starter.
I didn't want to oversell Shanley, but compared to what they have here, I think that would be a great trade because he could come in and contribute.
I hope it happens. So the first time he makes a play or misses something, I'm going to say, is this your superstar cowboy you're sure you're selling to us?
Well, you know,
I think Gorin makes a lot of sense.
In defense, though, I said he's a borderline starter.
Right.
So how he comes in here and fits into the system, I'm not sure.
Can you get him for Wesley Britt?
He played pretty decent.
Didn't we trade
Wesley? It all depends on the Cowboys scouting staff. Maybe they like Britt better than Gorin, and they prefer him.
The offer on the ride is still available.
But Paul makes a good point, though. I don't know if Kazier's out of the question.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to, you know, maybe they want someone more than Brandon Gorin. Brandon Gorin kind of, you know, gets into that same. He is what he is at this point.
Right, right.
4, 5, 6 years in the league, can start in a pinch, mostly a backup throughout his career. Now it seems like they've got him in that Ashworth mold where they're working him as a swing tackle that he can play both sides, kind of like Grant Williams years ago. Who knows?
Might be Shanley in a draft pick.
Maybe they want more than that. Maybe they want a guy that they, you know, they feel can plug him in.
The only thing you won't get from Dallas, though, is a receiver because they're not in good shape in that position either. So,
okay. Is that just because of the T.O. situation?
Well, no. Patrick Creighton, their third receiver, is injured again.
He got hurt again?
Yeah, and they're like the Patriots. Wow. They're trying out everybody off the street like Johnny Morton and everybody else.
That's Creighton.
Huh?
What happened to Creighton? Should we do Cowboys Football Weekly later?
He sprained his ankle.
Tom, are you sure you're not doing podcasts for the Cowboys, too?
Nobody listens to him.
Listen, we just talked about the Chargers and everybody else, too. You know what I did, Fred, on Saturday night while everyone else was having fun?
I watched
the NFL Network from 7 till 1 as they went back and forth from all the preseason games.
You're a loser!
That's okay with me.
That's what I like to do. I'm having fun. I'm having a good time. I don't want to drink. I don't want to go to parties. I don't want to go to clubs. That's what I want to do, so I do it.
I like it. I like it.
You know, Fred watched the Titans-Saints game last night and thought it was live. He goes, see that game last night? Your boy, Vinsanity.
I called him Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico.
Hey, let me ask you this. I had an email sent to me by a former member of the Patriots.com umbrella, Dave Crisoli. He wants to throw a trade rumor out there.
Okay.
Mike Williams?
Dave Crisoli.
Until next
Brian
time,
Lowe.
I'm Dave
Kevin
Crisoli.
Kevin Falk to San Diego for Donnie Edwards.
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't do it either.
Because first of all, LaDainian Tomlinson does everything Falk does 100 times better. Second of all, they already have a backup in Michael Turner. They lost Darren Sproles.
So it's a bad move for the Chargers.
I think it's a bad move for both teams.
What happened to Sproles?
He's out for the year.
He's out for the year, too?
You're saying the Patriots would want to do it, but the Chargers probably wouldn't.
Chad Greenway?
Yeah. I'm saying it's just a terrible trade. Okay. First of all,
these trades never happen.
I wouldn't trade Kevin Falk.
Let me state, you know, unequivocally, this is completely made up.
Right.
This is not even an internet rumor. This is worse than
now.
Right. Just wanted to throw it out there and see what you guys thought.
Donnie Edwards is still out there because I heard Clark Judge, one of the national writers, had just finished his visit to San Diego's camp. And he is persona non grata, that he called him. Said
the announcers were talking. They said that he's not anywhere to be found.
How about Deion Branch for Donnie Edwards?
Oh, no.
I must think Falk's more important to this team than other people.
I'm not throwing it out. I love Kevin.
I'm not talking about Paul, but I've read other stuff on the internet that said, let's trade Falk for. I think he's going to catch 50, 60 passes
Falk,
easy this year.
Falk, not only can he do that, he can pick up the blitz.
The only
in a pinch, he can fill in, but now that they have Maroney, they may not need that.
But he
can run first and second down, right. And he's done it.
The only concern with Kevin Falk is the more touches that you give him, the more he's going to put the ball on the ground. And that's I'm not trying to take a shot at him. It's proven fact. You look at the more he gets the ball, the more he fumbles. He's one of those guys. You know, some guys, it's the opposite. They need a lot of touches to get, you know, kind of into the flow. When he gets a lot of touches, inevitably he's going to fumble.
Greg from Waltham writes in, just want to start by saying the podcasts are great. Fred, being the tech geek that you are, you might be interested to know that I use the RSS reader and subscribe to the Patriots podcast and news feed so that the podcasts are automatically fed to my PC once they are published. I love where the technology is going, but I have a feeling it's responsible for the drop-off in listener participation
of
the shows.
Dave Duke.
Oh, we're getting tons of email.
I don't know about that.
No one.
A lot of pre-mails. People don't have to listen live anymore. They can get it on their iPod.
No one needs to shun their job responsibilities and risk getting fired anymore to email or call in during the live show, since we can listen at our leisure. My only criticisms of the podcast, however, is that they are missing Gary's sound bites in the comical banter between you guys, and you're all trying way too hard to sound professional. All of us diehard listeners know you guys don't talk like that in the live show, so be yourselves. You know, that's what I try to tell them, Greg.
No, we're uncomfortable.
I try to tell them that,
just
Greg.
So you know, I couldn't consider myself any less professional when I'm doing those one-man.
We're just flat out uncomfortable.
That's because you're trying to
No,
be
I'm not.
You even told me in the first one you're
right. Right, and I told you how many times it took
Gary
me to do that.
To do one. He needs to try one
show.
And get the feel.
They are ridiculously hard.
No, they're not.
It's not the same.
Just talking to a friend about what happened at practice today.
Nonstop for 5 minutes.
That's all it is.
But Paul, that's hard.
But the friend's not there to talk back.
Fred, I've used your theory and it's helped me, but it's still not the same as this.
No.
Okay.
If we had another person there, a little banter back and forth, so you kind of collect your thoughts back, it would be no problem. But to talk for 5 minutes straight is
like
difficult.
The roster.
I'll have Chris Ferreira sit in the room with you while
the roster report podcasts are fine. It's the training camp podcast when you do it by yourself that is very uncomfortable.
Okay.
But we're doing it to get the information
out.
There's
only a couple left.
Only two left.
And I'm done. I don't
Next time the cleaning lady comes in, have her sit down and talk with you.
That's what I said.
Is that wrong?
Should I not have done
the podcast while
have
the
her translate
was in the
for
office?
They just happen to come from Mexico.
All right. Let's see.
They just happen to come from Mexico.
On to some football questions. One, which Patrick will make the team,
like
Pass or Cobbs?
Neither.
With Pass being MIA so far this season and that terrible hammy grab fumble still fresh in the coach's mind, will Cobbs' performance in camp and preseason games force the coaches to cut Pass? Cobbs may be best suited on the practice squad, but even Heath Evans seems a better option than Pass at this point.
Word.
Two, Mike Reese reported in his blog about the Patriots and Cowboys swapping scouts and the Cowboys' need for O-linemen. Any chance we see Nick Cazier being traded to the Cowboys for a linebacker? Could this be the reason we're seeing Ryan O'Callaghan get more reps with the first team?
Well, it's not the specific reason. Cazier's on PUP and hasn't practiced, and O'Callaghan has worked his way up the depth chart.
Maybe they're shelving Cazier so that he doesn't get injured again.
Huh?
You know, I'm holding out for Oliver Hoyt. I don't care.
Three.
I want him bad.
Given his age and the emergence of some younger linebackers, is Pat's perennial Larry Izzo in danger of being cut?
I don't think
Say
so.
Say not this year.
Four, where is Eric Warfield? Can Hank Poteet beat him out for a roster spot, or will both be cut?
I don't think Poteet will beat him out for a roster spot, but today I thought it was interesting. Warfield was with the second group. He and Randall Gay came in after Hobbs and Samuel. So that's about as consistent as I've seen him with reps, and that was pretty much every time today they went to the second group.
So maybe he's
we've heard a lot about Artrell Hawkins, how he's kind of impressed the coach. What's your update on James Sanders? How's he doing?
I think he's been okay.
Yeah?
I think a decent number of reps.
I think they like his versatility because they can line him up at linebacker in certain formations.
No fear that he maybe has dropped a little bit because he hasn't been as present.
Early in camp, he was more active.
Yeah.
Well, is there a chance that Willie Andrews might beat him or at least take over, jump in the depth chart?
I think Sanders makes the team.
I do, too.
I do as well. We know there's going to be 10 or 11
But who's higher in the depth chart?
Right.
Willie
now
Andrews
Sanders.
Or Sanders?
Well, they're different.
Yeah, I think Andrews is more
roles.
Cover guy.
Right. He's a cover guy. And
whether he's going to play safety,
a borderline linebacker,
right?
Whether Andrews ultimately plays safety or corner, and right now I think they want him to be a corner.
Right.
Sanders is a much different kind of player. He's a bigger, more physical guy, and Andrews is a cover guy. Even though he's a good tackler,
right?
He is. I mean, he's kind of like, he's Dexter Reed. You know, in that he's not, you know, this big guy, but he was came out of college with a million tackles under his belt and played a very physical style for a smaller guy.
He's a nicer guy.
Hopefully, Willie
Andrews doesn't sell it.
Yeah, hopefully Willie Andrews is a much better player than Dexter Reed was, and I know he's
better
a better
guy.
Person.
Who has a better chance of making the team, to Bucky Jones or Gus Scott?
To Bucky Jones or Gus Scott?
About as even as you can
this
get.
This is where you're going. This is why I'm having trouble already. I could definitely make a very logical argument for either guy.
So no,
Gus Scott. And I think that
I don't know. That's about as tough a question as you can ask.
I don't think Gus Scott makes it.
And
I'm going to go with the Bucky Jones because of special teams, and he was here already once before.
And the fact that Mel Mitchell is gone, I think that they wanted Mel Mitchell to be kind of that jack of all trades, special teams guy. I think they need a guy that they can rely on, a veteran like to Bucky.
Do we know Tom Brady's feelings in hindsight of Deion's holdout of trading away Bethel Johnson?
Irrelevant.
No one has mentioned Bethel
I'm
Johnson.
I'm sure he
Bethel
hasn't
Johnson
lost one second of sleep.
He's so out of, I think, the minds of everyone.
Brady might not even know he's gone yet.
Yep. Seven, say goodbye to Dan Klecko, Marquise Hill, and Jonathan Sullivan. I think everyone here would agree with that.
I agree with that. Who's this emailer?
Greg from Waltham.
Fine email.
Fine.
Finally.
You get a star, Greg. Cause
finally, remember the canceled Saturday practice a couple weekends ago? I have a trustworthy source who told me that the team did indeed practice that day. Was it canceled just to keep the public eye off the team that day? Possibly to allow Rodney and the PUP guys a
no
private
question.
Transition back to practice? Just wondering if you can or will shed some... We said the exact...
Paulie, Paul Perillo.
You and I talked about it, Fred.
Yep.
And, you know, all of a sudden we come out that next Monday after he gave him the whole weekend off and a slew of the PUP guys
right.
are back out there.
He wanted to see them first for himself
I'm
before
gonna guess.
The
I'm
media
I'm
going to
guess
saw.
That was the reason.
I Greg, very insightful.
Very
are you openly discussing
email.
Cheating?
No, I don't
no.
necessarily think
it's
cheating.
It's a closed practice. They have closed practices.
Yeah, but if they are on the field participating in team...
Back.
So
no,
if,
they took him off
if,
the next...
If Rodney
off.
Harrison had come on the field on Saturday and not looked good and stayed on PUP,
no.
you just broke PUP rules.
No, they would have to have taken him off PUP
right.
no matter what.
Okay.
Right, no? So we're not saying that they cheated.
They
right.
just wanted
we're
to get a look
they,
first.
They may have
and
tried
they could have
to
cheated
cheat.
If they wanted to have.
No, but I do think there's
sure,
a lot of...
The way the rules are, and from what I've seen how teams are run, I'm sure 32 teams
oh, no question.
At
no
some
question.
Things.
Right.
Jonathan writes in. Let's see, where is Jonathan from? He's from
Jonathan.
Virginia. He's from Virginia. He says, I'm by no means an expert on the cap, so can you help me understand why Belichick is leaving $14 million in cap space with no major free agent or rookie signings on the horizon? I know he wants to have it absorb some of the
no
Seymour
idea.
Extension, but not $14 million worth. As Paul said, we could have afforded Adam, Willie, David, and Dion with that money, but Belichick decided to go in a different direction, so what direction was it? The money's just sitting there. Seems like value doesn't help
idea.
Anyone if you waste what's saved.
You won't
so
waste
why
it.
Is Belichick turning into Scrooge McDuck?
Well, you won't waste it. You'll use that cap money somehow, mm-hmm. even if it's a fraudulent bonus that ends up bumping the money to next year's cap.
Yeah,
you can
I,
keep the money with accounting loophole measures.
And I do think that there's, there are some things that they had in mind as possibilities that, and none of which really panned out. I think they probably felt they would have Deion Branch signed to an extension by now. Now, that wouldn't nearly be $14 million on this year's cap, but I think they felt that there would be an extension in place for him. I think they really legitimately had genuine interest in Ty Law.
Mm-hmm.
That would have taken up some of the cap space as well. That bonus for Richard Seymour is $6.6 million, I want to say,
yeah.
that he can get any time between now and next March. That may be some of the cap space. Don't forget, not just Branch. You got Copen, Samuel, Graham. You have guys that are coming due. Maybe there's an extension that works for one or two of those guys.
Right.
If that happens, some of this cap space, I agree
but
with
there's
Andy.
No if. They are going to use it some
yeah.
way.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, some of this cap space is going to get taken up. I don't think it's because – I don't think they looked at it and said – you know, we can't afford to bring back McGinnis, Vinatieri, and Givens. It wasn't about being able to afford it. It was about them not thinking it was the right way to go. So they knew they had the cap space. It just wasn't what they thought was the best thing to do.
And it just happened to unfold that all the different things kind of went a certain way that left them with this money right now on the books.
Right. And
you
I'm
know, if you sign Ty Law, well, that cuts up, you know, there's different pieces. They just all went the other way.
And this is kind of a statement of fact. I'm not saying right, wrong. I'm not trying to be a homer here for the team, and I'm not trying to rip them for not re-signing these guys. I'm just kind of stating, down the middle here, the fact of I don't think that, Adam Vinatieri, I don't think it was a money issue. They just felt like the value wasn't there. They had the money to spend. They never tried to tell you that they couldn't afford him.
And reportedly, they went after some other free agents, too, like Finneran and some other guys where it just didn't work out. So it wasn't just because they didn't get them didn't mean that they weren't going out trying to sign people.
That's another point. There's a lot of guys, and I think, the Ty Law thing, we like to kind of blow that off and say, well, Belichick was never going to bring him back. From what I've been told, that's not true. They were trying to bring him back.
I think it was down to two teams.
And I was told by someone who I think has some knowledge of the situation that they just gave a little bit, Kansas City gave a little bit more guaranteed money.
That was totally taken out of context.
And a little less work.
See, that's the one where I
think that's, but
that's a whole lot less work.
That's a whole speculation that Tom and I come
right.
up with. I think it's easier for him to play for Herm Edwards than Bill.
But I think specifically on Ty Law, that's one where you could question the lack of willingness to go the extra
a little bit higher
when you have the
consistent.
Money. No, I know they are, but to me, that's a short-term deal that could have huge ramifications for your defense and your team.
You could definitely make that argument with Adam.
Right. Well,
because he's not going
to. I don't think Adam wanted to come back at a certain point, so I don't think it mattered
and
what
Adam
he threw out
come
there.
Back for a 1 year deal. He wanted
right. It's a longer term commitment, but I think it reached the point where Adam said, "Screw you, I'm out."
Yeah, I agree.
Jonathan,
it's a good thing that they got guys like that running the cap instead of me, or we'd have LeVar Arrington and T.O. here.
We'd have LeVar Arrington. No. Who, was I reading bad stuff about his knee?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's done. And T.O.
Giants not give physicals when they sign guys. It's a big deal.
My point with Adam.
Did you hear about Lee Suggs?
Yeah, he went back.
Yeah, he failed the physical.
Yeah, poor and Jets there.
Paul brought up a great point now. Now Derek Straight has to limp back to the Jets and right. know that he was not wanted.
Right. Womp, 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 womp. That's all why right. I was wondering if maybe there was another guy involved. And they said, right, you know.
Anyone.
No, Lee Suggs will take, you know, Patrick Cobbs of your team.
Is Will Green still on that team?
I don't know. Was Lee Suggs still in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a Romeo Mangini deal. Well, plus all the other people that are.
Strange bedfellows.
Jonathan ends his email with an official ranking of coolness.
Andy's.
I'm number one.
This goes in reverse order, then.
Number one, might be.
Clearly, the higher number is better here.
What is this?
Coolness.
His order of coolness.
Oh, okay.
One, me. Two, Paul. Three, Andy. Four, Gary. Five, Kyle. Six, Lori. Seven, Ron Borges. Eight, Pat the Patriot. Nine, the guy who ate the hamburgers that one time. And 10, Tom Casella.
Booger!
Booger. Oh, wow, Tom. That's a slam at you.
It's about time it swung the other way. He got all those,
Yeah, you write back. You write back in about 10 minutes. 10 minutes of well, the till
who,
the hour.
Who was that, Fred?
Jonathan from Virginia.
I didn't think his email was all that impressive anyway.
So it was Fred. What was the ranking?
Fred,
again?
Paul, Andy.
Andy.
Paul's
Gary.
Cool.
Fred's cool.
Clearly, this guy's like 60. He likes the old guys.
Yeah.
I'm behind Paul.
Hey.
Let's see.
Now, where you always are behind another
Scott.
Guy.
Scott. Oh. Scott from Raleigh, North Carolina. Do you? Let's see. Do you the figures? I think he says, do you see
did
the
you
figures
in your bed
on the Patriots
night?
Cap number for next year's or have any general idea? It seems that there will be little or no dead money, and they should be in really good shape. It looks like they would be in good shape to take a top-notch linebacker and or cornerback and sign both easily. What do you think? And also, I read the team charter was struck by lightning on the way to Atlanta last week, and that's what forced them to land. Can you confirm this and tell us more? Were you on the plane? I think I speak for Patriots Nation when I say we'd like to know. Well, we were on the plane. And
yes and no.
If those facts weren't accurate,
right.
We landed, took off, and then got
well,
hit.
Well, tell us,
we were
why
struck
don't you
by
do
lightning.
A chain of events? We were scheduled. We were on
we
our
left
way
here
to
45 minutes late.
We were on our way to Atlanta to land at Atlanta, but the airport was closed because of a storm. So we were diverted, and we landed in Knoxville.
Insert Tom Casale screaming like a
little
bitch
here. Meanwhile, while we're sitting in Knoxville getting gassed up and all that, the storm starts heading to Knoxville. So now all of a sudden we're kind of stuck in Knoxville. That's what the pilot tells us and tells us that our safety is his first priority.
30
all
seconds later,
says,
we're in the air.
We're gonna go,
35
well,
seconds
no, but,
later.
But wait,
full
goes,
steam ahead.
Yeah, we're going to go taxi down to
right.
the other end and take a picture from there, whatever that means. So
he said take a picture.
We taxied down to the other end of the takeoff strip.
Runway.
Runway. And I guess they
yeah,
saw,
he's cool.
I guess they saw a window in the storm. So, like, within a few minutes, it's like, we're taking off. We took off and
window my ass.
And
5 minutes later, there was a very strange bolt.
We were right in the middle of a storm.
Flash of
light. Lightning everywhere. And all of a sudden, there was this huge flash. Now, some people on the plane say that we were hit on the wing. Other people say we weren't.
We were hit.
And we don't know.
I talked to someone who said definitively we were hit. And when I said that the pilot had mentioned that we weren't.
Right.
Of course that's what he's going to say. We should have never taken off in
right.
that condition.
There's a lot more reason for him to say we weren't hit than to admit
no,
we were
hit.
We were forced to land because of lightning. We were forced to land because the Atlanta airport was closed.
And we ran out of fuel.
And then we ran out of fuel.
Circling, so
right.
we had to go
so
refuel.
Circling in Atlanta and eventually.
Right. So, but
a couple more of those trips and that guy who thinks I'm number 10 on the cool list won't have to worry about it. That won't be here.
There were a couple people on the flight that were having a hard time.
Yeah, Tom was not the worst.
Tom was okay.
But not even close.
In addition to the, I thought Tom was passed out. I thought that's why.
No, he was sleeping.
Were you unconscious?
Because as
I took that less drowsy Dramamine, and instead it knocks you out. Interesting theory.
And he called Dramamine, and they said, well, that's the way it goes with some people.
Sometimes that happens.
Sometimes that happens.
Are you kidding me? And then just to reiterate the point Tom and I have made, and the fans know that we talked about it earlier this spring. Our combine trip was 100 times worse than anything we could have gone through on this flight.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
Well, we'll see how funny it is when you're covering the combine next year, Fred.
All right.
Wait a minute. Can you imagine Fred Kirsch covering the combine?
There aren't a lot of direct flights from Providence to Indianapolis.
We don't care about the directness. Just a jet. Just a jet engine of a propeller.
All you did was weaken a nation today, Caffey.
I've been to the combine multiple years now, and one year it was a jet. Four plane rides, four jets. That's all we're looking for.
Get us to New York. We'll take the car, the ferry, the car.
Michael in Madison, Wisconsin. Michael has been emailing us for a long time.
Who is this?
Michael in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Tollefson.
Yep. He says the NFL advertises the NFL Field Pass by stating that you can follow your team via their home broadcast. Is this true for the Patriots finally? Yes, Michael. As of last year, you can get Geno and Gil.
You don't want to watch the Packers? They're loaded with so much talent. You figure that you'd be dying to watch them.
Yes.
What an awful football team.
We have another emailer from Budapest.
Susan?
Susan. Hungary. This is, Istvan.
We have three emailers from
Hungary. We're big in Hungary.
I'm calling BS.
The Patriots are the team of Hungary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Official team of Hungary?
He says, I was wondering what your
Jamal in Budapest is next.
He says, I was wondering what's your opinion about a trade between the Jets and the Pats about Justin McCarron's, who was apparently in the doghouse of Mangini, but is very capable receiver for Kevin Faulk. Why is Kevin Faulk on the block?
Why does everybody want to? Because Patrick Cobbs is so ready to take over.
Right.
And here's where I'm going to go with Tom now. I don't want to trade Kevin Faulk.
What about Justin McCarron?
I do like
McCarron's.
I'd take him.
For he's not bad. He's not great.
He's
better than what we have here.
But the Jets need a running back.
You're talking about a slightly better version of Rashay Caldwell.
I was just going to ask you, better or worse than Rashay Caldwell? And I would agree with Tom. Slightly
better. I want him.
I don't care if he's better or worse. If he's in that class, he makes the team as one of the top couple targets
right
now.
But
they need more NFL caliber receivers.
So who could we trade?
So the Jets are going to line up Kevin Faulk at running back? I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. Plus, I don't want to trade him. So.
What is the truth about Scott Shanley for an O-lineman trade? Have you heard anything?
Just what we've read.
I came in late today, and apparently that was reported.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Istvan writes in also, he says, Tom Casale is the best in the show, and Paul is also very good in Ask PFW.
Thank you.
Suck it, Istvan.
Thank you very much.
I'm big in Budapest.
I thought that was going to be Tom is the best in the show, and Paul is
and
the
Paul
worst.
And Paul is paint drying.
No one thinks that was going to hurt
my feelings.
No one, Paul's a legend. He's a Boston sports icon.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Most versatile
man in Boston
sports
media. It goes like Bird, Yaz, Perillo.
All his other contemporaries.
Paul Perillo of Patriots Weekly is here. And
whatever happened to Teddy?
He's running for governor's council.
Is he still doing that?
Yeah.
He might have won by this. No one knows
he
where he is.
He's not on the radio anymore.
Oh, they're killing us.
Even he's not going to do BC this year?
I believe he is still going to do the BC games. Gary, is that correct?
Then I'm not sure what we're doing in life.
No, Gary doesn't know. Gary doesn't know.
I'm not responsible.
Not out there.
Rob in Ashburn, Virginia. I'd like to be
killing
the first
him.
And probably the last to welcome back old friend
like
Rohan David
turkey
to Foxborough this weekend. I'm not sure if you saw where Rohan had as many yards rushing as Edgerrin James this past weekend, minus two.
I thought you guys said he didn't play.
He must have played in the last 3 minutes.
Probably took a knee.
I watched the.
Just like Carlos Dansby.
I watched until like 3 minutes left, and he wasn't in the game. But the Edge had two carries, by the way, and played for like 5 minutes.
Also, Tom, I see where your binky, Cedric Cobbs, had 42 yards on 11 carries.
Mm-hmm.
Other old friends, David Patton did not play. David Givens, zero catches, 0 yards. I said that, and you guys said, oh, no, he caught all
Who?
These passes.
Who?
David Givens.
I told you he dropped one, right?
Who said
hands.
Anything about catching passes?
I said I didn't see him catch a pass, and you guys are, oh.
No, that's
First
not
First of all,
true,
you
Fred.
Just watched the game last night and thought it was live, so I don't remember us
well,
talking about
it. Doesn't matter.
What I told you to your face that
never,
he dropped a pass right in his hand.
That's the only thing I've heard about David
preseason.
Givens.
I don't
Nothing
watch preseason.
Catch a pass.
I don't
no,
watch preseason football games, so okay. I definitely
didn't
pass.
Discuss it with any of us.
He had one pass thrown his way, and he dropped it. It was right in his hands.
I watched the 4 preseason games that I'm contractually obligated
He's
to
too,
watch.
He doesn't catch balls anymore. He's too busy weightlifting. He's probably got a picture of himself in his wallet like David Boston does.
Ty Law has so far half a tackle. I know, it's just preseason. Also, a tragedy.
Tom Brady has no touchdown passes.
Also,
I mean, can we move on?
We're
down statistics.
You hate the New England fan.
We're going down statistics of frontline players off the first preseason game.
Oliver Hoy had five tackles.
Also, a tragedy happened this past week, and I had my New England Patriot doormat stolen in front of my house. So I was wondering, since Monty Beisel was laying on his back most of the game in Atlanta, if he would mind being our new doormat.
That really
bothers
me. Pick
Jonathan Sullivan's available.
And I'll say it.
That'd be like soft, so squishy.
And it'd never get up.
It'd be better in the winter.
Just
though.
Be
you
there
get
forever.
More of those, you know, boots.
It'd be one of those
in.
Backyard.
Like even when you wanted to throw it away, Sullivan, you couldn't even get him up. It would just stay there. You need to get like a center to pick him up and slam him.
Fred is from Montreal. He says, "Here's his thoughts on the game. Please rip or comment."
Nice.
Maroney sure looks good.
Stupid.
Paul Ripham.
No, I thought Maroney looked fantastic.
Dylan looked good, too, but he got hurt on his last carry and probably won't be 100% until week 15.
He dispelled that myth.
Although he took a hit today in practice, and after the play, wiggled his right shoulder around the exact same way he did in the locker room after the game.
You mean a 32-year-old getting nicked up, huh? Interesting.
I'm sure you talked about it, but I have I have to mention that the linebacker situation looks bad. Experience is key at that spot, so unless Bannekane or Beisel step up, I don't see anybody else having an impact this year.
Well, let's focus on that word bad, because during that Atlanta game, the bad might not be the word for it. Inside linebackers were atrocious. They got pushed all over the place.
And can I just say, this is not just kind of us being negative here and picking on something. Bill made some comments today when talking about Barry Gardner that I thought were telling when he had mentioned, you know, he's having a good camp. He learned the system quick. He's a hard worker. He's a smart guy, blah, 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 which all that is probably true. I'm not saying that he's lying, but he specifically said that he had seen some things in the Atlanta game that he wasn't familiar with at all, hadn't really gone up against, and, you know, those are things that we've worked on a lot since then. So clearly there was an issue with the linebacker play early in that Atlanta game.
And Barry Gardner wasn't the worst.
Don Davis looked lost. And believe me, no one likes Don Davis.
But with him, I use my same thing as Castle. I just think he's not in a position he shouldn't be in.
Special teams.
And Paul pointed out again yesterday at practice, Belichick spending countless minutes with the linebackers at every practice trying to...
Handing the ball off to his son.
Yep.
During the
doing whatever
pre-practice
he
drills with the...
And his son's best friend.
The linebackers and his son's friend who...
He never gets the ball. Who Fred thought was his son.
He's always a decoy.
I got to be honest with you. I say his son rushes for more yards than Dylan this year.
That's all politics, though.
He looked
the
quick.
Poor friend never gets a carry.
He needs a haircut, though.
Yeah, he does.
I like the Hawk Carpenter look on Belichick's son.
Ooh, A.J. Hawk got killed by somebody. Oh, that was Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
He wasn't 5 yards from him.
He tried to cover Gates. It wasn't even close.
Let's see.
Be right on Hawk, too.
He never gives his name. You should give his name and where he's from.
Who?
Straw Milkman. I don't know who that is. He says, I don't know about you, but the Falcons game was just what I needed to get tuned up for the regular season. Garrett Mills was simply outstanding. If he can continue a spectacular play into the regular season, then my concerns about Branch possibly missing the first half of his holdout season are far less worrisome.
Is this the guy who said we could rip him? Either way.
You want to go first?
But the same guy.
No.
The same guy rips
nice.
Us. Oh, his name is Rob from Revere. In the second email, he says, why would the Patriots try to keep the practices hidden in preseason? That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like I said 3 months ago, Harrison will be in the starting lineup, and to think that the Patriots would try to hide that fact is purely ridiculous. Come down to reality.
Well, next time, now we are going to rip him, okay? That's not what we said, that they were trying to hide whether or not he was going to play.
What
we said was they wanted to make sure that he was ready to start practicing and take him off the PUP list. So if that happens, matter of fact, just so you know, Rob, it happened a couple of years ago when Lonnie Paxton was kind of given a little quick audition out on the practice field, wasn't quite ready to come off PUP, but it was reported, unfortunately, by us, and we got in trouble, for it because they didn't necessarily want that out there, but the practice was open, and we put it on the website, and they were forced to take him off PUP before they wanted to, and we caught some flack from it from Bill and the coaching staff.
And Lonnie Paxton had a different jersey number on. They were trying to hide it. Why would they try to hide anything?
Yeah, Rob.
That's what they do.
Well, and the other thing is...
We didn't say anything about starting or anything.
Let's
go
around the table. Anyone think Harrison is better than 70% right now?
No.
No.
Better than 70%?
Looks about 70% to me out there.
Yeah, I'd say that's what he's at. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's still not a definite that he's going to be out
71,
there.
71, maybe.
All right. No, it's no way is it a definite.
And the other part of that email, if you think that Heather Mills is going to, you know, replace Deion Branch's production.
Heather Mills?
Wow.
Garrett Mills, you know,
wow.
Caught a couple of passes, dropped a couple of passes in the fourth quarter of a preseason game.
Right. Well, I was upset.
Let's not, you know, say he's going to replace Deion Branch.
I agree with everything Paul said except a little cheap shot Heather. That's uncalled for. What did Garrett Mills do to you? You're supposed to be calling him, like, Robert Rook, I don't know, something. Make fun of him.
Yeah, at least he's out there. Make fun of Chad Jackson.
Yeah.
Steve writes in, I've missed listening to the show, but I've been away on business. I know it's only preseason, but I had a few observations. One, I think Tom is going to have to send me an autographed Corey Dillon jersey at the end of the season.
What's
he look like he will return to his previous form, and last year was an off year.
Did you catch a Maroney? Well, let me just throw this out here. For those of you who think Dillon is going for 1,500, did you see the other guy running the ball?
Okay, his second point is Maroney ain't no baloney. He looked very competent and will play significant minutes, spelling the great Dillon and extending his career. Right.
Especially when he's injured, like he is now.
Hey, what's the bet? What's the number?
I forgot. It's 1,000 for sure. It's 1,000 yards.
I don't know.
It's 1,000.
It'd be more than 1,000. You didn't make a bet on 1,000 yards because he's going to get 1,000 yards.
I don't think he is.
Ooh.
I'll bet you guys right now.
Ooh.
Three, Garrett Mills will replace Patrick Pass as the third down fullback option. That could be.
Yeah.
Four, we desperately need some wide receivers. The jury is out on Caldwell after dropping that pass. Would you consider placing Watson as a wide receiver if the situation doesn't get better? He might be like David Boston in his prime.
Not according to that book.
Yeah, no. Casey Joyner from ESPN Insider, the football scientist, has a breakdown of Watson as a failure at wide receiver when he lined up there last year. Watson as a failure at tight end and said he may be one of the most overrated players in football.
Wow.
I think Ben Watson is a good tight end. I don't see him being too.
And he's going to line up out wide. He's done it in practice, but that doesn't mean he's a wide receiver.
What he needs to do is be consistently out there because he never gets in a rhythm. He's hurt too much.
I think he needs to catch the ball.
And I don't know if he's hurt currently, but another practice that he wasn't dressed for.
I think he's the second best tight end on the team behind David Thomas.
Wow.
I think he's better
than that. It's a shot at Daniel Graham.
Well, we'll see. In 2 years, we'll see who's better.
Okay. Five, we need inside linebackers, and unless a deal's made, Vrabel will have to move inside. What do you think of Mincy and Wood's performance against Atlanta? I was impressed with Mincy always being around the ball on runs, but he seemed to get entangled a lot in his pass rushes and appears to need to develop some pass rush moves. Where's Andre Tippett when you need him? I also noticed in the Cleveland Browns' first game that Andruzzi had more tackles than McGinnis. Is Willie over the hill?
Well, that's an interesting statement about Mincy because he didn't have a lot of sacks in college either.
He's not he's not a big pass rusher.
No, he's...
I wrote his draft profile. He's not...
He's not a big one of those get-after-the-quarterback type guys.
No. Nope.
Well, kind of need to be a little bit.
No, I'm just saying he didn't come out of college with a reputation for being a huge pass rusher.
But he's going to have to develop it. As a 3-4 outside linebacker, you need to be able to rush the passer at times.
Yeah, but he doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, Tully Bantakane, where that's all he's known as. He might be more of, you know, a Vrabel guy who can set the edge and make a play or two.
I think Mike Vrabel's a pretty good pass rusher when he used to be.
Well, that's probably an unfair comparison I just made, because I think Mike Vrabel...
I wasn't going to set him to that standard. I was going to put him a little lower than he has.
What I'm saying is I think that Mike Vrabel does everything well. I think he drops into coverage, rushes the passer, and sets the edge on the run equally well. I wouldn't necessarily think one of those things is his forte, whereas Colvin, I'd say, clearly rushes the passer better than the other stuff. That's kind of what I meant.
But if you can't rush the passer, you cannot play outside linebacker in a 3-4. You just can't. You have to be versatile.
Fast speed?
I agree.
And as far as McGinnis goes, I kind of thought he was a little over the hill last year. The first 8 games when all those corners were getting torched, those quarterbacks had a heck of a lot of time to throw the football.
I'll say it before and I'll say it again. He criticized, you can say it's a good system and all that, but you need the players. Well, there's nobody that the system benefited more over the last 4 years than Willie McGinnis.
Well, tell him to have fun with his five
sacks. One of the few times when Fred trashes a guy who left, I happen to agree wholeheartedly with that statement. There's very few guys that benefited more.
But the difference is we trashed him when he was here.
Well, I'm just saying the difference is Fred will also rip Ty Law for that.
Hi, lawyer.
Ty Law was a great player.
Oh, yes. Whoa, we got a story out of Atlanta.
Hi, lawyer.
Tom, why don't you tell it?
Tom Casale, the MVP, for remembering that one.
Oh, what? We were walking into Atlanta and going towards the press box, and Fred's favorite player, Lawyer Malloy, who he has trashed repeatedly on this show
as a player
by,
for 3 years.
And Fred, like a little kid who sees his favorite player. lawyer goes, "Oh, hi, lawyer."
Yes, in that kind of a voice, all giggly.
Just like
yes,
that.
You did.
Absolutely.
You
said it just like that.
Hey, man, that's very poor
that's
to
very
me.
Very poor to me. I agree.
No question.
I said hello to the guy.
It was embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
Rich,
hi, lawyer.
Fraud Kirsch.
Rich and Drakett says, what are the realistic chances of players like Pierre Woods, Corey Mays, and Freddie Roach making the squad? I thought Woods looked sharp versus Atlanta, and he seems to have balanced size and speed. Thanks in advance for any comments.
Well, you know, the thing about Woods was he was an underachiever big time at Michigan. And those guys, when they come to the next level, could go one or two ways. They could remain being an underachiever, or maybe someone like Belichick can turn it around and get what Lloyd Carr, who stinks as a coach, couldn't get out of him. So maybe this guy had talent at some point because he was a big-time recruit. He's his sophomore year at Michigan, he put up big numbers. Then he kind of got in Carr's doghouse and was benched for a while. So he does have talent, and maybe someone like Belichick can get that talent out of him.
That's a good point. You never know which way those guys are going to go.
And as far as Freddie Roach is, I feel like he started out camp, I thought he looked awful in practice, slow on his reads, getting eaten up. Then he had like a little upswing there where he got some reps, and maybe he was making a couple. He had that big hit on the goal line at one point.
On Maroney.
And now I just don't think he has the quickness or the read ability. And, you know, I know Belichick praised him and said, you know, the physical, the tackling is going to be a strength of his game based on college. I just don't think he has it.
And even worse in his ledger right now is he evidently was banged up in the game because he hasn't been out in practice since.
Let's see. Trying to breeze through these emails. Winding down here. Of course, we'll be back next Wednesday at noon. Louie in Tampa says, I think that Garrett Mills will be great for us. He's fast, has good hands. I feel that Daniel Graham will get traded.
A new member of my Jeff Fry team, by the way.
He'll get traded. And one quick note, I'm saying it first. Tully Bannacane will be the starting outside linebacker. He's fast. He looks better than ever. And I've seen him. Trust me.
Over who?
He's probably saying Vrabel moves inside.
Okay.
And then, one quick,
I can make an argument for
one
that,
quick point.
Otherwise.
Everyone's talking about Garrett Mills. I thought the most important thing from a rookie is when David Thomas got absolutely annihilated, got taken off the field, and was back on the next offensive play.
Yeah, came back and played the rest of the game. Had a solid game.
Evidently, everybody missed the ball that hit Garrett Mills in the chest and then ended up on the turf.
I also must have missed all the plays. I didn't.
Towards the end of the game, he was, like, downfield.
Thought he made one play that I would say was a standout play. The one he got made a nice move, showed some nice athleticism, got down to the one, dove, outstretched the ball, and they called him out of bounds at the one. That was a terrific play. Other than that, he caught four dump-off passes.
Yes. Well, to that point,
Brian
in Miami says, I don't see what's so impressive with a wide-open running back or tight end fullback catching a pass.
I agree.
Yes, both Cobbs and Mills made nice runs after the catch, but we should not put so much emphasis on preseason games. Also, if Brady is a 98 in the new Madden 2007 video game, then Castle most likely would be a 68. I don't think he looked good at all. If he can't handle the pace of a preseason game, then how will he handle the pace of a regular season game?
I mean, he was thinking, okay, we get the extra. Whoa, what happened? You know, go on in. You know.
Am I the only one who feels this way?
Fantastic.
I missed the earlier part of the show, so forgive me. Now for some over-under.
And when he can take your center and just blow him.
Be 100.
Over-under, 3, the number of interceptions for Ellis Hobbs this year.
Over. Under.
Over.
Okay. 2, the number of punts returned for TDs by Willie Andrews.
Under.
Zero. Under, yeah.
Wait, what was it?
Oh, it was under. I didn't.
2.
Did you give a number?
Thought, 2. Yeah, 2 was, but I thought
under.
It was.
Under.
I thought it was,
I thought
number
it was the second
2.
Question.
Yeah, I did too. That's why I was like 0.
20. The number of field goals for Guskowski.
Over.
Over.
10, the number of sacks for Colvin.
Under.
Next question.
And 5, the number of games started by Monty Beisel.
Under.
Under.
Over.
Over, says Paul.
Under.
Over.
Under. Over, like his career in New
Don't
England.
Don't you have to be on the roster to start 5 games?
Wow.
Maybe you guys have some information I don't. I'm going to tell you.
We got nothing.
No, we don't.
Just throwing out
like
opinions.
The Mike
That's
Williams trade.
Right.
Wow.
By the way, the Lions are looking for a tight end, so I'd be more than happy to ship one of our extras for a Mike Williams right now.
Walter Rasby for Mike Williams.
The ride to the airport, open on that one, too. Actually, it's open for Dave Thomas and Garrett Mills as well.
I like
Phil
Thomas.
From Stafford Springs says he just tuned in. Really tired of hearing guys that are gone with other teams or signed elsewhere. Let's get on with what we have and start going to battle with what we've got. I agree.
I agree.
I'm surprised Fred hasn't ripped Vinatieri all day for having a sprained ankle.
Well,
It serves him right. Karma.
For what, hitting that 53-yard field goals that karma. You can't hit anymore?
Karma. Robin Rivera.
I'm Adam Vinatieri, and that's
Tom,
not
I happen
what
to think
for.
That Thunderstruck is a good TV song if you consider Dylan as Thunder and Maroney as Lightning. Or maybe we should have more than one TV song depending on how it was scored.
Yeah, well, Gary. That's not my – I should tell you my nicknames. I got Maroney as Kool-Aid. I got Jackson as Gatorade. And then I got Dylan as Powerade.
There you go. All right.
See the aid
– Gator.
Yeah.
See what he's doing there?
You're a loser!
In there.
Yeah. Dave from England, do you think that as the cap went up last year, the Patriots' value system has to increase in proportion as the market will hold more money? Do you think that they take that into account – when negotiating with Dion? Also, can Vrabel play on either side of the linebackers, or does he have a preferred stronger side?
I believe he can play on either side.
I was going to defer to Andy
but,
on that one.
But I know they like the Colvin-Seymour matchup on the right side, but I'm assuming Mike Vrabel wouldn't mind playing behind Richard Seymour on most quarterbacks' blind side as well. So, I mean, if you gave him – you like write the starting lineup, Mike, I think he would say, yeah, I'll play behind Seymour on that blind side over there. That'd be good.
And I'm pretty sure Belichick and Pioli have taken into account the new cap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certain of that. There's no question they're aware of the market increases and whatnot. I don't think that had anything to do with
Q. Ralph Wilson.
I didn't understand it. Players asking for more money.
This is
I don't know why.
A very complex proposal.
One more Mike Vrabel thing, though. He definitely, I would say, and Paul, I know you kind
of didn't think I was a dropout.
Broach
but
the
maybe
topic
I am.
With him. I think he would prefer the outside, but it looks like he is going to get pushed back to the inside for the second straight season.
They've
here.
Played three, four defenses the last couple of days. He's been inside next to Barry Gardner.
And you need him because you are right now without two. I know Brewski, everybody says Brewski maybe for the opener. Everything I've seen says a month to recover from this surgery is really fast. So I'm not sure he's going to be ready for the opener.
All right, well, we'll have more next week. On that subject and others.
How cool are the guy who ate the hamburgers?
Thanks for joining us this week. And if you missed the beginning of the show, don't forget you can pick it up on the archive. We'll see you next Wednesday at noon.